mom, Donnie, is practicing taqiyya.
1,000%. 1,000%.
He's presenting
the Muslims are laughing at you guys. Like, this is the funniest thing. Like, dude, give it 50 more years, entire New York's gonna be Muslim. And then before you know it, it's gonna be Sharia courts. And then, like, y'all are, it's like shooting yourself in the foot.
And I'll also say that it's Muslim money. The PACs that have supported Zahran, or a particular PAC that has supported Zahran, is probably over 80% of Muslim American donors in this country.
81%, so 81 of the mosques that he surveilled were in some way or other preaching jihadism and hatred of non-Muslims. And this is in the United States.
The 2011 study, Sharia and Violence in American Mosques, published in the Middle East Quarterly, surveyed 100 U.S. mosques selected proportionally by state Muslim population between 2007 and 2010, and found that 81% contained texts advocating or justifying violence in the name of Sharia or jihad. 51% calling for overthrowing non-Islamic governments, with 84.5% of imams recommending these materials during services. Counter studies claim U.S. mosques largely deter extremism and reject violence, rendering the 81% figure a provocative but unreliable indicator of widespread jihadism. Whatever the case may be, these studies need to be immediately replicated in the name of U.S. national security, because America has a history with Islamic extremism going back to its founding. Thomas Jefferson's 1786 meeting with Tripoli's ambassador revealed the Quranic justification for enslaving non-Muslims and seizing their ships, prompting his rejection of tribute payments that had consumed nearly 20% of U.S. federal revenue since 1784. As president in 1801, Jefferson responded to Tripoli's declaration of war with naval blockades and the First Barbary War from 1801 to 1805, ending in a treaty that freed American captives and halted tribute. This conflict solidified the U.S. opinion that Islamic law was incompatible with Republican government, which later influenced subsequent restrictions. From 1790, the Naturalization Act excluded most Muslims, while late 19th century rulings like Ex parte Marias, 1894, denied naturalization on religious grounds. The McCarran-Walter Act of 1952 retained ideological bars against those advocating government overthrow or tied to totalitarian ideologies, effectively restricting certain Muslim activists. Enter the Legion of Treason. In 1990, Congress repealed Title II's ideological exclusions via Moynihan Amendment, passing the Senate and signed by President George H.W. Bush, easing short-term visa restrictions but maintaining permanent residency screening. Years later, during the Obama administration, America did a 180, authorizing engagement with nonviolent Islamists like the Muslim Brotherhood. After the Arab Spring, the U.S. cut funding for Egypt's democracy programs, but kept giving $1.5 billion a year in military aid. When Morsi was removed in 2013, the U.S. briefly paused the aid, then started it all back up again. After rebels led by former al-Qaeda commander Ahmed al-Sharaa, a.k.a. Abu Muhammad al-Jilani, toppled Assad in December of 2024, the U.S. quickly embraced the change. Biden lifted al-Sharaa's $10 million bounty. The U.S. is now engaging Syria's new leader at the U.N. and with top officials, betting on his promises of elections and stability to counter Iran and ISIS, despite his jihadist past. And despite the overall goal of Islam clearly on the jihadist warpath of global conquest.
We take the jizya from the non-Muslims, the combatants, the enemies of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life. Do you understand? We're taking it in exchange for your blood, for your life.
It is time for us to stop calling Islam a religion. It is a civilization that governs every aspect of your life. And most importantly for us in the U.S., it is a civilization that is duty-bound according to the Quran.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. It's a little bit of a darker day for us over here, specifically me though, of course. Last night's election results were expected. We prepared you for it, but I don't think even if we prepared you more for it, you would have actually been mentally ready for what you saw unravel yesterday. It's a communist Islamic takeover happening in our country, and we're watching it play out before our very own eyes. That's the big discussion that we're going to be having today. I look forward to diving into that topic in just a moment. But before we do that, I wanted to make sure that we bring you an update in regards to that plane crash that you saw yesterday in Kentucky. I want to play you the exact details as to what happened. As many of you guys may have seen yesterday, there was that crash. It was a UPS plane that did crash, sadly, just moments it appeared to be after taking off. Here are some of those details that they brought to us yesterday. Take a listen.
Bro, get the away from here. Like, turn around. Bro, no, hold on. I think it's gonna crash, bro. Holy.
And that's obviously absolutely devastating. Now, we know originally the numbers were there were 3 confirmed deaths, but it's since the governor spoke afterwards, we found out there were actually 7. But the governor did speak to the public and he outlined what he knew at the time. Take a listen.
Approximately 5:14 p.m. Eastern time tonight, UPS flight 2976 from Louisville, Kentucky to Honolulu, Hawaii, an MD-11 with 3 crew members on board was involved in a catastrophic crash here in Louisville adjacent to our airport. UPS will be releasing more facts as available. The National Transportation Safety Board will be in charge of the investigation and will be on the scene shortly. They will be the primary source of the investigation as it continues in the days and in the weeks ahead. I can confirm that there was no specifically hazardous cargo on board of the plane that would create an environmental issue for those around the site, but the impact and where it impacted could create those types of situations. So please, if there is a shelter in place, follow it. At this time, we've got some initial numbers, but let me tell you, I expect them to grow. Right now, we believe we have at least 3 fatalities. Oh, I believe that number is going to get larger. We have at least 11 injuries, some of them very significant, that are being treated by local hospitals. Again, I think that number will get larger. There is a victim family reunification center being set up at the Louisville Metro Police Training Academy. That is 2911 Taylor Boulevard. Victim services personnel will be on site and on location for anyone who needs information. The United Way is also offering shelter to anybody that's been impacted. You can call them at 502.
All right, let's step in on this. So ultimately, the overview of all of this is that it was a UPS cargo plane that crashed, exploded, causing that massive fireball that you saw on your screen. Now, this took place while they were taking off. Keep in mind, folks, that the Louisville, Kentucky facility is actually the global aviation hub for UPS. So keep that in mind. Now, again, we do know that there are 7 confirmed deaths, 11 confirmed injuries thus far.
The number is still expected to grow, and this happened late yesterday afternoon around 5:15 p.m. Eastern time. We'll continue to follow the story as it develops, of course, to figure out what exactly happened here. According to those sources who have spoken, they do believe, obviously, that this is a mechanical-related issue and that there might have been a problem with the plane before takeoff. But we will continue to follow the story as it develops and as the details begin to pour out. I wanted to focus, though, on what we saw take place yesterday. Obviously, folks, this was not the ideal election day. We knew it wasn't going to be a massive win for Republicans because the elections were taking place in heavy blue districts. But ultimately, folks, what we saw unravel yesterday was devastating because the reality of it is there are places still like Virginia, which had Glenn Youngkin, who was a Republican, flip the seat, obviously, for governorship I'm referring to, and we just saw it flip back to Dems. So that was a little discouraging. But most importantly, Democrats are taking a victory lap. Now, obviously, if you're wondering why that is, they were the ones to cause this government shutdown. Now, of course, that played into their advantage because they lied to the American people and said that it was Donald Trump who caused the shutdown, which obviously created a motivation for voters to go out and vote. It created the fire that they needed to go out and vote. And that's exactly what played out yesterday all across this country. Now, what we saw specifically unravel is three candidates who the DNC chairman says are three similar candidates, even referring to Zohran Mamdani as one of those candidates who they can compare all of these three to. Now, Zohran Mamdani is obviously a communist. He's a radical Islamist. I don't even think you could put radical in front of that. He is an Islamist. And the reality of it is yesterday was absolutely devastating to watch. But listen to how the DNC chairman describes the victories in clip three. Take a listen.
I want to focus on the similarities because there is a through line right now between Zohran Mamdani, Abigail Spanberger, and Mikey Sherrill as examples. They're all focused on affordability. They're all focused on building a better life for families in this country who are struggling right now. And so there is a through line.
Folks, there is a three line. You heard it there. Zohran Mamdani is a communist and the rest of these Democrats who continue to run for office are just that as well. But they hide it a little bit better. Now, of course, we've told you, and I'm going to keep telling you, back in 2014, there was a plan to put Zohran Mamdani in this New York City race before he was even a U.S. citizen. And you're wondering why. It's because there are people out there that hate this country. They despise this country. They hate our values in the West. And they are looking to take over. I don't know how many times we need to talk about that. But so many people fear it because they're afraid of being called an Islamist. And that's the reality behind it. That is exactly what they are afraid of. But if you don't fear the name calling, you have no problem confronting the real issue here. America is about to be taken over. We are seeing it all across the election spectrum these days. Okay. I want to talk, though, about President Trump's reaction a bit before we dive into the New York City race. President Trump posting this on Truth Social yesterday after the results started pouring in, saying Trump wasn't on the ballot and the shutdown were the two reasons that Republicans lost elections tonight. That's according to pollsters. He's quoting those pollsters, obviously. And in another post, he said, "So it begins." And if you're wondering what he means by "so it begins," the communist takeover, he is now battling it out with a communist, a real communist in New York City. It's not fear-mongering. This is a communist. This is a communist. This is a communist takeover, and we are sitting back, and we are forced to sit back and try to just watch, I guess, at this point. Folks, Zohran Mamdani gave a victory speech yesterday, and during that victory speech, he was infuriated after winning the election, after wondering why. He started off very calmly speaking, and then he went off into a massive, massive rant. Take a listen to clip four and how pretty much, I mean, this guy just sounds like a communist regime taking over one of our biggest cities in this country. Take a listen.
If anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power. This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one. So Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have four words for you. Turn the volume up. We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants. We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks. We will stand alongside unions and expand labor protections because we know, just as Donald Trump does, that when working people have ironclad rights, the bosses who seek to extort them become very small indeed.
New York City flipped red yesterday, just the wrong kind of red, as you could see there. Zohran Mamdani is a communist. There's no other way to put it. He hates this country. That's the reason why he came to this country, to destroy this country. You don't immigrate to the United States as quickly as he did and then run for office as quickly as he did if you weren't trying to actively destroy this country. We've played it for you time and time again. We'll do so later during the show. In 2014, his own campaign said that the commitment was to run Mamdani for mayor. We know this. He said it in his own words. He just didn't know he was being recorded when he said so. Keep in mind, Zohran Mamdani wasn't even a U.S. citizen back in 2014. He didn't become a U.S. citizen until 2018, and then he ran for state assembly. The guy's never had a job. He is a piece of garbage. A piece of garbage. He hangs around with jihadists, therefore he is a jihadist just like them. He is someone who has spent the bulk of his time going to mosque. About 80% of those mosques have preached for violence against non-believers. Folks, we're not dealing with a peaceful religion. Just crack open the Quran, read it for yourself. There's over 100 verses in the Quran that preach against or preach for violence against those who are non-believers. I don't know how many more times you have to say this. You are not Islamophobic, although you should fear Islam. Don't let the name calling scare you. Don't back down. These people hate us. They are trying to conquer the West and they are winning. They conquered London. They just took one of the biggest cities in this country, New York City. They are laughing at us. Our enemies are laughing at us as they continue to let individuals like Zohran Mamdani and others take over. Keep in mind, folks, keep in mind, we just saw the first, what was it, the first Lieutenant Virginia governor get elected who's Muslim. Folks, there's a pattern here. Why is it that people that hate this country are making their way into our country, running for office, and then destroying us with horrific policies that would never even survive their own country, because their own countries are hellholes? How dare people migrate to our country, tell us what we have to do when they come from failed countries, failed governments? They have never been able to come together and create any successful government themselves. Their people have historically failed their own. We welcome them into this country because we want to give them an opportunity to succeed, but the reality is they hate us. They hate us. Name one liberal city that there's a population of individuals who are happy to be there. Most of them are hooked on antidepressants. And there's a reason for that. Liberal cities are hellholes. Imagine what it's going to be like now for a communist city. Well, you're about to see it all play out before your very own eyes. And there's zero accountability. Here is zero. Alvin Bragg yesterday also won his election as well. Alvin Bragg is the Manhattan District Attorney who has literally declined to file charges against those who are victims of crime and instead has gone after those who have defended themselves. He also went after President Trump, a case you didn't remember that either. Now, he is another one who is a communist, obviously, but folks, he is an American. Zohran Mamdani's not. You could tell me, oh, he's became a citizen in 2018. He's not an American. His mom even said that he's not an American. He hates this country. He's always hated this country. And right now we're dealing with a takeover. And so many people didn't have the guts to call it out months ago. They are now here pushing this. But guess what? It's too late. Because people fear being called a mean name and they don't want to speak the truth. The reality is people like myself have been talking about this for a very long time now. People like Amy Mack and others, Laura Loomer, another one. Lara Logan, another one, have been warning you guys about what's going on and trying to open up everyone's eyes to this. But sadly, so many were too afraid to talk about it because you didn't want to be called a mean name. There is a very limited amount of people who did discuss this. Now, all of a sudden, it's going mainstream a bit. And so those really don't fear talking about it now. But keep in mind, folks, Zohran Mamdani is now going to have access to the NYPD counterterrorism database. that doesn't scare the hell out of you. I don't know what else will. Now, obviously, we need a federal intervention, but again, will President Trump do that? You see, the reality is it looks like on paper he won this election. I'm sure if we were to sift through the actual voters, we might find some very interesting things. If you saw James O'Keefe's latest report, he actually was able to put someone in one of these election, I forgot what the guy's office was, but he went there to register this guy to vote and to get him to vote. And this guy specifically told this individual that I am not a U.S. citizen. I just got here. And they said they didn't care anyway. Here you go. Go over there. Vote. I wonder how many of those actually happened. I wonder how many of those actually were able to go and cast their ballot in this election. Again, people that hate this country have infiltrated this country. Alex Soros even posting this tweet yesterday celebrating Zohra Mamdani's so-called victory. Another communist prick who hates this country. It's enraging, it's infuriating, but this is what's going on right now. Now, if you're looking to see who's to blame here, I've got several people we could outline. Number one, the New York Republican Party itself is a conglomerate of failures. They have a history of losing, have no fight in them, and all they do is put fossils up there to run their organizations. And the reality is they were too focused on a group chat amongst young Republicans that they let another one slip through the cracks. Curtis Leewald, well, there's only so much beating up I could do on this guy, but the reality of it is Curtis won, even though he's an absolute embarrassment. Take a look at this. The guy wore a cat tie yesterday to go out and vote. He also had a cat book in his hand. Feline lovers. What the heck is wrong with these people? This is someone you run as a Republican? And the level of privilege that Curtis had when he was asked if he would accept a President Trump endorsement. Yeah, if he wants, he can endorse me. Curtis Leewald is a loser. He lives in a cat-infested apartment. He still thinks we're in the 90s. He hasn't given up his costume yet. And although I could beat up on him because it's an easy target, the reality of it is the guy wasn't even able to garner at least 10% of the votes yesterday, folks. I know a lot of you were fired up because I was the one saying that he shouldn't be in the race anymore, but he couldn't even pull in 10%. Oh, great. It's the Catman episode of Cribs. Folks, I love my dogs, but gosh, this is horrific. This is absolutely horrific. And this guy isn't even healthy, too. You know, we didn't want to highlight that because I don't like to poke fun, but the reality is he's not in great shape. He's just not. If you've met him in person, you understand that. So many people stayed silent on that issue as well. That's what he became so unhinged in a lot of these interviews when he was just grilled on the basics. The numbers never backed him in the first place. Yeah, of course, he won the primary. But is that really the best candidate as a Republican Party you have to put forward? Maybe find someone more relatable than Catman. But it's not just that. It's the loser Republicans in the state of New York who are now going to use this to try to push their way through another victory. People like Mike Lawler, an absolute loser. Rhino, I know President Trump endorsed him and says he's MAGA, but he's not MAGA. The guy's a scumbag. He's a loser. So what is he doing now? Well, of course, the congressman is now going to use this as a way to push Republican candidates who are too weak to run on strong policies in office. The reality is Republicans in New York don't run on policies that actually help New Yorkers. Instead, they say, well, are you tired of living like this? Vote for us. Maybe we'll change things for you. And we've watched over a decade now, and it's changed absolutely nothing. Take a listen to clip 5 and how Mike Lawler continues to highlight the fact that he's an absolute loser.
New York City, you have a city that is 7-1 Democratic.
Right.
And you have an avowed socialist now taking the helm of the Democratic Party. He will become the face of the Democrats nationwide. Him, AOC, and Bernie Sanders is precisely why Chuck Schumer ran away from, putting an endorsement out. Hakeem Jeffries had to come kicking and screaming, and Kathy Hochul went on bended knee. They are betwixt and between, and they don't know what to do. But Zohra Mamdani is going to be the face of the Democratic Party in the midterm.
He was like literally drooling when just saying those things. He loves the idea of Zohra Mamdani being the face of the party because they could all run on that. Not on strong policies that help reduce the cost of living for young New Yorkers who are struggling to get by. Folks, that was me. When I lived in New York, I was working 2 jobs, working 7 days a week, and was busting my butt trying to make a living. I had 0 in savings, and I understand why so many young people who live in New York who are trying to get their way in whatever field they're working in, just trying to get a foot in the door, how desperate they are for anyone who could talk to them and tell them about that they care about affordability. I mean, the reality of it is Zohran Mamdani is the only one who's actually addressing those concerns. Do I believe that over a million communists live in the state of New York, in the city of New York? No, absolutely not. But guess what? I think a lot of desperate young people looking for any ounce of hope turn to that guy because he's the only one talking about how to make New York more affordable. Yes, it's not realistic. Yes, it's a bunch of lies. And yes, it's stupidity if you understand how the economy works. But the reality is he's the only one talking about it. You could sit there and turn to these people who are likely working 6 to 7 days a week to survive and say, well, just work a little harder. Suck it up. But if someone steps in and says, I've got an easy way out for you, a lot of young people are going to take it. A lot of people in this country are depressed because they are working jobs that they do not like. They were forced to go to college by these individuals, these guidance counselors, and so many told them, oh, go to college, you'll make all this money. They took out loans that they couldn't ever afford to pay off, and now they are a slave to the system. That is a reality. Whether you want to believe it or not, young people are faced with that reality. 20s and 30s, most Americans really cannot afford to buy a home right now, especially if you live in the state of New York. And yes, I get it. Democratic policies led us there. But again, you're not winning over any voters when you continue to just make that the talking point, when you continue to go to the table without any solutions to these issues. I don't think I ever heard Curtis Leewald even mention the fact that we should be focused on these issues. So am I fired up on this front? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. New York was once my home, and although it was Long Island for a very long time, all the things that happened in Queens and Brooklyn bleed into Long Island. But now New York is gone. I cannot go back and visit. The NYPD will never be able to make an arrest again because of Zohran Mamdani. He will abandon them. You are continuously getting the worst of the worst to sign up for the NYPD. Now anyone who is a good person will likely resign. Will likely resign because why the heck would you put up with that? So New York City yesterday flipped red, just the wrong kind of red. They went straight up communist. So we're going to keep digging into that throughout the entire show. There's other elections, though, that we should be focused on. I look forward to diving in as well. Obviously, Virginia just electing their first female governor, it looks like, as well as their first lieutenant governor, who appears to be a Muslim woman. Breaking glass ceilings, the kind of glass ceilings that none of us actually want broken. We're not getting qualified candidates in these positions. We're just going with those who are the first female, the first Muslim woman. Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? Not really, especially if you're a homeowner. All right, we got more to dig into. Of course, I've got more to sound off with in regards to elections, in regards to the lawfare that's being exposed that took place, obviously, under the Biden regime, and so much more. Don't go anywhere for now, though. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. It is 25% off site-wide on top of already those huge sales savings. So those incredible items like Methylene Red, we just launched last week. That is on sale, 25% off today, of course. And when you sign up for AutoShip, you're getting 50% off those supplements as well. Also, just to remind you folks, we launched it yesterday. I made the announcement yesterday on this show. 50% off any supplement. 50% off the supplements, but also we have the blades, the Alex Jones blades that are up right now on the site. Those are for sale. It's a limited time. We don't have those forever. So you got to head on over right now to the shop and grab yourself some of these. It is incredible. The engraving on that is also really impressive, and it makes for a great gift. So head on over to the Alex Jones store now and get them before they sell out.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it in a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He just hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation. And has the widest selection of T-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Got all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days that started a few days ago of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. While supplies last, could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red, about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buy anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you. We can't do without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel Methylene Blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at it.
Here's your normal Methylene Blue, right? Look at Methylene Red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got Methylene Blue and you got Methylene Red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. All right, I've had to take a second to cool down a bit. A lot going on all around the country, obviously. That's got me fired up these days. Texas Representative Brian Harris will be joining us at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. It's not the town, the time zones are really messing me up these days. And I was just fired up. I have to cool down a bit these days, but we'll have him joining us in just a little bit. But there's a lot to discuss in regards to the elections that took place yesterday, obviously, as many of you guys saw. Not ideal. Not ideal. We discussed briefly the Virginia race, obviously, and I wanted to get to a bit of the victory speech that Spanberg made last night. Now, again, this is someone who wouldn't even get on the phone, it looks like, with her Republican candidate, the opposition party, when they did give her a ring yesterday. Instead, she was there, though, to give a victory speech, and we'll let you listen to a little bit of it in clip six. Take a listen.
And right now, our federal workforce is under attack. And the chaos coming out of Washington is killing Virginia jobs and creating economic uncertainty for tens of thousands of families. Government employees, government contractors, small business owners who are impacted by the chaos coming out of Washington. Virginia's economy doesn't work when Washington treats our Virginia workers as expendable. To those who have been impacted by the mass layoffs, by furloughs, by the hardships that you are experiencing, please know that I will direct the full power of the governor's office to support you. And to those across the Potomac who are attacking our jobs and our economy, I will not stand by silently while you attack Virginia's workers. I will fight every single day for every single Virginia jobs, the ones we have now and the ones we will bring to our Commonwealth into the future. I will stand up to anyone who tries to harm our economy or the livelihoods of our Virginians. As governor, my job will be to put Virginia first, full stop. And tonight, as the governor-elect, I call on Congress, Republicans and Democrats, and our president to make real progress on bringing this shutdown to an end.
Yeah, I want to jump in there because obviously what she's alluding to is what Democrats had game planned from day one. They shut the government down to motivate their voting base to go out there and vote. And that's why you see her now saying, oh, we have to bring back the government, reinstate our government, fund our government. There's a reason for that. Chuck Schumer was doing this behind the scenes. We know that he was. We know that he was telling his fellow Democrats not to jump on board with passing the CR because, well, as you saw there, they were able to use it to vilify those on the right, and it successfully worked. We had record turnout in certain areas all across the country, obviously, because not getting paid will fire you up. And they were able to mislead the American people because a lot of people in this country really aren't that intelligent, don't understand how government works. They don't understand how in the Senate you need the 60 votes. And obviously with the Republicans, you need to get Democrats on board. And so again, they're just not very intelligent, but they're able to tell their narrative and spin their lies because, well, the public school system, which they run, was intentionally failing these individuals. And well, welcome to the new era, where the vast majority of American voters are truly ignorant on a lot of issues. Again, I know a lot of us who are watching this show aren't that way, but of course, when you sit there and you ask liberals questions about their policy that they claim to support, they don't have a factual argument behind it. And that is the reason why they are just so poorly educated on these issues, because, well, they don't put much thought into it. It's pure feelings. And Democrats know that's the reason why they withheld federal employees from getting paid. They shut down the government because they knew but that would trigger their emotions. And long behold, see what you just had, record numbers. Again, and a lot of people are saying, oh, Brianna, these are blue states. Well, New York City saw record turnout. I believe it was over 2 million people came out to vote in that election alone. Numbers they have not yet seen before. In Virginia, also in certain counties, there were record numbers as well. Again, a lot of federal employees. Interesting enough, folks, as we sit here and try to fight to uphold our elections and the integrity of our elections, places like Maine don't really care about their elections if this election was authentic. The proposal in Maine, which was to reject those who wanted to implement a photo ID requirement for voters, was rejected yesterday. Was rejected. Good news, though, if you live in the state of Texas, Texans, I should say, approved a proposal to amend the state's constitution to add persons who are not U.S. citizens can't vote, pretty much. I mean, that's what's going on right now. You have those up north. It's sad. I don't even know of one place up north you could actually move to these days where it's not this way. But places in Maine don't really care. Let anyone vote. Who cares who they are? Who cares what country they come from? They want to sink our elections? Let them. Folks, we are living through a takeover. Also, it's worth noting, J.D. Vance's brother lost his election as well yesterday. He was running for Cincinnati mayor, and he was defeated. Vance did not campaign at all with his relative, of course, but did send a message of support on X way back in May. So he has lost his election. Now, again, like I mentioned, we're going to be speaking with Texas Representative Brian Harrison to reflect on yesterday's election here in the great state of Texas. It was a good day for the most part for voters. We're excited to have him on. We're also going to talk to him about his exclusive story that he broke himself about how illegal aliens are apparently getting vehicle registrations here in the state of Texas. They're not supposed to, of course. We're supposed to be a red state, but apparently illegal aliens are just running around hanging out here in Texas. I believe the latest stat that I saw from the governor's office was like 1 in 5 ICE arrests come here from here in Texas. So again, more horrific numbers from allegedly a red state. Candace House Speaker Dan Hawkins on Tuesday ended the GOP's efforts to force a special session for redrawing the congressional districts in Kansas. So now, folks, if you live in Kansas, you will not get those redistricting redrawn maps out. The plan would have bypassed the governor. But of course, Republicans are too cowardly and decided not to do it. They'll do it next year. Just hold off and wait. But if you live in states like California, you don't wait. You are trying to steal as many elections as you can to push forward your Marxist agenda. And that's what's going on in California right now. And we know just that because, well, in clip 7, you're going to hear a little bit more about that. California mail-in ballots for Gavin Newsom's Democratic 2026 gerrymandering are under criminal and legal review. That's according to the White House yesterday, who detailed specifically the theft going on in California. Take a listen.
Legal and criminal review. By whom and why? And also, in this vein, does the White House still plan to issue an executive order banning mail-in voting? And what legal authority do you have to do that?
The White House is working on an executive order to strengthen our elections in this country and to ensure that there cannot be blatant fraud, as we've seen in California with their universal mail-in voting system. It's absolutely true that there are fraud in there's fraud in California's elections. It's just a fact. It is just a fact. They have a universal mail-in voting system, which we know is ripe for fraud. And if you want to deny that, I'm happy to provide you all of the evidence for it. I'd be glad to send that to you after this briefing.
Rigged.
Fraudulent ballots that are being mailed in the names of other people, in the names of illegal aliens who shouldn't be voting in American elections. There's countless examples, and we'd be happy to provide them. As for executive action the White House is taking, yes, we are looking into that. And like any executive order, of course, any executive order the president signs is within his full executive authority and within the confines of the law.
Folks, California is just shipping out mail-in ballots, and they don't really care. Obviously, mail-in ballots are criminal. Anyone can grab onto your ballot, whether or not they decide to fill it out or bring it in or drop it off. I mean, they will do it. We haven't learned too many lessons from 2020, sadly. You don't really hear much in the way of Republicans talking about how they want to fix our elections, besides the president of the United States, of course, because he was the victim of the theft back in 2020. But folks, time and time again, we continue to see these issues, and there's not enough people looking to actually fight back on it because they're afraid of being called a name. Now, like I outlined to you, we know that Chuck Schumer was intentionally shutting down the government so that he could create a fired up voter base for Democrats. Clip 8, you're going to hear from Senator Mullins, who's going to detail what he's heard behind the scenes in regards to that. Take a listen.
Senate Democrat that said, quote, "We feel like now after the No Kings rally, we our neck is simply in a guillotine. And now they got to wait until after the election. That last week, Liz, I know Dick Durbin wanted to break with the Democrats and reopen the government. Chuck Schumer, in a private meeting with other Democrat senators, said that if you'll just wait till after the election, I'll release the handcuffs. I added the handcuff part, but basically I'm paraphrasing what he said. The reason why is because they're afraid their base wouldn't show up today in Virginia, New Jersey, and in New York. So it's been about politics. It's never been about policy. It's been about holding the American people as leverage points, regardless of the damage they cause to the livelihood of these individuals. But elections are more important than the Dems because why? They know their polls is at the very bottom than it's ever been for the Democrat Party.
As you heard there, folks, Chuck Schumer intentionally did all of the things we saw unravel over these last few weeks because, well, he could do that. See, this is the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Both will screw over their voters. They don't care about them. But only one party does it and executes it perfectly to to benefit their politicians. That's what you just saw unravel here, folks. Now, obviously, the lies were so bad when it came to what Democrats are trying to push as a Trump government shutdown, being the fact that, well, Republicans in the Senate did widely support the CR, and President Trump says he's just waiting for it to get approved by the Senate to land on his desk. It was getting really bad, where even Jake Tapper again and again has had to debunk Democrats' own lie. Take a listen to clip 9 and how he again has to let Democrats know that, yeah, we know it's actually not Donald Trump holding this up. It is, in fact, you. Take a listen.
Democrats are the ones that are not voting to fund the government. Now, I understand why they're doing so. They're doing so because of health care, and they want to fight, and they want Republicans to negotiate, et cetera, et cetera. The messaging by Democrats around the shutdown has been sharper than I've seen Democrats on any issue in a long time. Mm-hmm. They have convinced voters, Democratic voters and independent voters, that it's the Republicans' fault. And just on the numbers, that might not be actually accurate.
Okay, so obviously that's a rude awakening for those on the left. They were not prepared to hear that, but the reality of it is, sadly, their voter base truly believed that Donald Trump is the one holding up the paychecks, holding up the SNAP benefits, when the reality of it is this was all well orchestrated to motivate those to go out and vote. They do it time and time again. Remember when Lindsey Graham jumped on board and decided to help out those on the left right before midterms, and when he pushed some bogus pro-life bill where it had absolutely zero value legally? He knew exactly that we had no one, obviously running the executive branch, that was going to pass, Joe Biden at the time, they alleged, who's going to pass any type of absolute restriction on abortion. They knew just that, but Lindsey Graham went out there every day and kept pushing for it and was used as fuel to send their voting base out there to vote. So it's not just Democrats doing it, it's also Republicans, so-called Republicans like Lindsey Graham, who continue to lie to voters and pretend like he is on board with the MAGA agenda, but he himself did his very best to help out Democrats. Again, there was no way for him to push through any type of abortion ban, but he did so because, well, he knew it was going to help out those on the left. All right, speaking of that, Lindsey Graham, obviously one of the many people who were still upset because, Jack Smith may have been targeting them. I say get over at this point, because the reality of it is they were targeting so many, you didn't speak out on anyone's behalf. So now that we're learning more about Arctic Frost and how these lawmakers were also targets in this persecution, they want results. They want answers. Must be nice. You average folk out there were unable to get answers when you were looking for those, when you saw that the government was surveilling you because you attended a legal rally on January 6th. Lindsey Graham didn't come to defend you. Neither did Ted Cruz. Neither did Senator Blackburn either. And the list goes on. But now they're wrapped up in this, and now they have motivation to go out there and get answers. It was recently revealed yesterday from AG Pam Bondi's office that they found that the special counsel, which is Jack Smith, seized President Donald Trump's government-issued phone. This means that the Biden regime turned over President Trump's phone to the special counsel, which apparently is unprecedented. In addition to that, the special counsel subpoenaed all of President Trump's personal phone records. Now, I'm not surprised. I know you're not surprised either. The main target was always Donald Trump. They were trying to build a massive case against him and get people to turn against him. But obviously it failed, and thank God it failed. But again, it just goes to show what we've been talking about for quite some time now, the levels of corruption that they were all involved in. The House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan also came out yesterday and announced that he was sending letters to Verizon and AT&T demanding to know their role regarding the data that they turned over. AT&T didn't turn it over, though, and how they may have potentially helped the investigation led by Jack Smith. The demand targets communications involving those with the former special counsel Jack Smith and his team. Jordan cited DOJ documents showing Smith obtained multiple Republican members their phone records and sought a gag order as well. He also accused the Biden-Harris regime, their DOJ, of abusing its power to spy on members of Congress. Last month, the Arctic Frost, obviously, probe was uncovered by the great Senator Chuck Grassley's office. We are learning more and more on this front. Now, again, I have very little empathy for these people because they didn't give a damn when the American people were targeted. But now, since they are the targets, they are all on board. I actually remember this quite well. When I was the one, along with Wendy Mahoney, we broke the story about Tulsi Gabbard being added to the TSA terror watch list. Members of Congress were quick to respond to me because it involved Tulsi Gabbard. But when we heard from hundreds, we heard hundreds of stories of those who were being surveilled at airports through this TSA terror watch list, those who went to a illegal rally on J6, they were added to this list. When we tried reaching out to them to help us out, nothing happened. In fact, I had to sue TSA in order to get some answers about all of this, and they still will not disclose that information, of course. They're trying their very best to stop me from finding out more information, saying that it's a national security issue. If I obtain any details regarding how these innocent Americans ended up on that terror watch list. The only way the government intervened was when Tulsi Gabbard was added to that list. And again, I broke that story to you. These people don't care unless it involves them. Now all of a sudden they want movement. Isn't it funny? We elected these people to represent us, but they don't want to actually represent us. Instead, they want to represent their own personal interests. One of the very few people that I actually do like in D.C., Brandon Gill, actually did something really cool yesterday. He introduced articles of impeachment against James Boasberg, citing his involvement in the Arctic Frost matter. Now, as many of you guys know, Boasberg has been one of the most repulsive individuals in all of this, allowing Jack Smith's team to just get whatever they wanted, even if it wasn't legal. Boasberg didn't put much up in a fight, and he was very much on the side of the regime, siding with them in several different cases. So now Congressman Gill is pushing forward and trying to have him impeached. That would be absolutely incredible if that happened. Of course, we would all cheerlead for that. That would be a good move. But will lawmakers actually push this forward and allow this to carry through? We will see. But again, it took members of Congress being the victims of the lawfare to actually demand this. Now, Brandon Gill is one of the very good people we do have in D.C. And he comes from you courtesy of the great state of Texas, of course. But so many are cowards in all of this. It really is infuriating. And again, we keep talking about this, but I want to highlight some key points that Byron Donald, a congressman from the state of Florida, made yesterday. In clip 10, you're going to hear him outline why it's important for us to impeach this corrupt judge. Take a listen.
Judge Boasberg, who was entrusted to sit on the bench, to be impartial, and to be non-political, and to basically review cases in front of him and determine the constitutionality and the legality of the claims in front of him, he has taken it on his own to be a hyper-partisan judge going after Republicans, signing off on subpoenas that are unlawful, and he signed off on them just to get his political rivals. This is why he needs to be impeached. I commend Congressman Brandon Gill of Texas for leading this effort in the House to call for articles of impeachment of Judge Boasberg. And it'd be interesting to see what Minority Leader Schumer has to say about all this. Because if it's okay for a federal judge to sign off on subpoenas and warrants against Republicans in the United States Senate simply because they're going through not just fishing, like Senator Johnson said. This is not a fishing expedition. This was entrapment. This was trying to bury and to suppress your political rivals, all to maintain power in Washington, D.C.
You see the difference, though? Those on the left understand what's going on here. They don't care. They will continue to push back. They don't care if it's legal or not legal. They will sacrifice Jack Smith, even though the deep state operatives who are also working behind the scenes on all of this will likely not get persecuted on any of this, prosecuted I'm referring to, after they led a persecution against President Trump and tried their very best to stop this election from happening. They didn't want President Trump back in the White House. Why? Well, because of everything you're seeing unravel. Again, I don't even understand how we've reached this point where we continue to sit here and demand justice, but it's like an echo in a very empty, empty room. We're not seeing much in the way of movement on this front, although the AG continues to put out these messages telling us what's exactly happening, what they're learning. There's nothing there. It's just meant to make us outraged. And then they say, all right, we told you. It's infuriating. But they did throw a bone at us, and it was James Comey, the indictment on James Comey. And again, I don't think this is much in the way of what we actually need to take place. This is the bare minimum. We're really scrapping at the end of the barrow here with all of this. It doesn't seem to make sense, but the former FBI director is again trying his best to fight off these two criminal charges that he just recently was slapped with. Again, the two-count indictment issued on September accuses him of lying to the Senate Judiciary Committee as well as obstruction of justice. Again, Comey has pleaded not guilty on this issue. But he's asking a judge to dismiss all of this, saying that, of course, this is a persecution. He knows what those look like, of course. And also saying that the interim AG, U.S. AG over there, Lindsey Hagen, is not a valid U.S. attorney. And so she doesn't have any grounds to file these charges, of course. That's what he's claiming. Now, again, it was revealed yesterday that a lot of the evidence that's been used against Comey actually came from five burn bags over at the FBI. That's what they're claiming. They're saying that a lot of the key elements that they've pulled together for this case came from those burn bags. Now, it's just like the government, right? They are supposed to do something and they don't do it because they're a bunch of failures. But apparently they're alleging that these documents that are now entering into criminal court were found in five burn bags, according to their filings that were made earlier this week. Now, it's interesting because this burn bag story, there's a lot more to it that I have a good feeling the FBI is not telling us about. In fact, it's probably a whistleblower who told them about this. Wonder what happened to that person. You see, the FBI is extremely dangerous still to this day, and sadly, there's no one willing to step up to the plates and to push back. Instead, and we're going to talk to Steve Baker about it, but instead, we're getting these broken promises by the FBI saying that it's being reformed. And although we do hear rumbles of personnel changes, I have a bad feeling about all of this. And sadly, if you're someone on the MAGA side and you dare push back against the FBI these days, those at the very top are coming after you. They don't like criticism, even though that they were the ones on the other side of this just a year ago criticizing those who were in the FBI. Now, all of a sudden, they expect us all to shut up about it. Well, we aren't shutting up anytime soon. I've got also a story about a couple of people who were fired at the FBI, then brought back in and then fired again, because why not fire them twice? It was fun to do that. Steve Baker will be back reacting to that story in just a moment. Again, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. We have the 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sale going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide, and we just got those Alex Jones signature blades in. So head on over to the shop and grab yourself some of these. It's for a limited time, of course, and it's great for Christmas. So head on over there and do that right now.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, and it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this. And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
today. I usually do my beautiful morning speech, but man, I don't think I slept much last night. I actually put my phone away because I felt like I was going to go on a bit of a rant on X, and I figure I just hold it all in for today's show. And so here we are today. We kicked off the show, obviously, highlighting the commie takeover of New York City, of course, and how we really didn't see much in the way of victories for Republican candidates across the country yesterday. It was quite interesting to sit back and watch, but we're going to be getting some reaction from Texas Representative Brian Harrison later on in this hour. I've got a lot to ask him in regards to a lot of key issues that were voted on here in the great state of Texas. And, you know, I'm just sitting here wondering, what are red states going to do now? Now that we know that, states and cities like New York and Virginia, they're dealing with a communist takeover right now, what are we going to do to protect red states? Because essentially those people who have no idea that their votes are so toxic that they've created this mass self-deportation from these states, and they flee to red states for refuge, they don't understand how their political views have completely done in with their states, in with their cities. So I want to hear what Harrison's take is on this, because again, folks, we're hearing a lot of reports from Greg Abbott, the governor, who's saying, you know, we're going to impose 100% tariff on those fleeing New York coming to Texas. It sounds great, but is that really going to happen? And what's the reality of that? I don't know. We also hear Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida also alluding to being open to that. How about you just, if you're living in Florida right now, just close off I-95 while you can. Shut it down. Shut it down. Only let those in who have a voter registration, a couple of years worth of history on their voter registration, to see what they've been supporting this whole time, because they are looking to destroy this country. Maybe not intentionally, but a lot of these people are just not very bright. Not very bright. And so they don't understand how the policies that they've supported over these last few years have led to this. I lived in New York back in 2018. I saw the writing on the wall and I quickly left. But the rest of them, well, they just sitting by. They haven't seen the lowest low, apparently, in New York City as of yet. But we are seeing reports that there are over 700,000 New York City residents looking to flee now that Zohran Mamdani has been elected. 700,000. Where are they going? And, I mean, were those all Andrew Cuomo voters? We know he won about 800,000 votes. So, again, even if they are, that's still not a good sign for red states. So many have self-deported places like New York and fled to Florida, to Miami. And although Miami hasn't seen much in the way of the negative side of all of this as of yet, the reality of it is it's not going to go well. You know, when I moved to Florida, I first rented a one-bedroom apartment in beautiful Boynton Beach, Florida, which was gorgeous, for about $1,500 a month. And then that quickly jumped up to about $2,500 a month. And then I was just scrolling through to see what it's like over there now. And yeah, you can't even afford it for less than $3,000 these days. And that was like 2018, 2019. So this wasn't that long ago. So things are changing in New York and Florida and places that are livable, that offer you a quality of life. And again, if you live in these states and you've lived there your whole life, you don't want people moving there. Because people like myself, when we move there, unfortunately, skyrockets the price of the cost of living. And not much is being done. You know, I tried to go around and ask Florida lawmakers, what can we do to lower the cost of living for people who are teachers, police officers, and they didn't have an answer. Nobody cared. I understand not wanting to regulate businesses, but again, these are the kind of businesses you probably should want to regulate just a little bit so that Florida residents who have been there their entire lives aren't pushed out of your state. Steve Baker's going to be joining us in a few moments as well, because he has an exclusive story he's going to be breaking down for us regarding J6. And then I also want to ask him about this FBI whiplash story. There was a group of FBI agents who worked allegedly on Arctic Frost. They were fired, then they were rehired, apparently, and they were fired again. I don't know. I think if you worked on Arctic Frost, it would be really fun to fire you, then rehire you, then fire you again. Why not fire you twice for being such a scumbag and being used as a political prop? Well, Steve Baker's going to be weighing in with that in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. There's a lot to discuss.
Hey, Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. I'm kicking off the second hour of the program with two incredible guests. Steve Baker is going to join me in just a second. He comes to us, of course, from The Blaze. He's one of their great reporters over there with an exclusive in regard to J6. And then we'll be joined by Texas Representative Brian Harrison as well. In the second half of the show, or the hour, I should say. So we're excited for that. But Steve Baker is going to break down his latest report, and he just released this over at The Blaze. It outlines, again, how, you know, Capitol Police repeatedly used lethal force on protesters that were there for a legal rally on January 6th. Joining me to discuss is the man behind the article himself, Steve Baker, is with us. Of course, like I said, he's a great reporter over at The Blaze. And a good friend of mine, we're excited to have him on today. You can find him on X at Steve Baker USA. That's at Steve Baker USA. Steve, thanks for being here. All right, you got an update, and you got a couple of updates coming your way very, very soon. But this is a good one. I want to talk about J6 and what else you've uncovered regarding the lethal force that was used that day for those attending a legal rally. So tell us the very latest.
Well, what we have discovered, myself and Joe Hanneman through, well, it's been years of video research. You know, I say this over and over again, and it's not to pat us on the back or whatever. We've been very blessed by our relationships, associations, and our access to video that oftentimes has never been seen. Now, in this case, there's not a lot of new video in particular, but what we've been able to do now is trace not only where these quote-unquote less lethal rounds come from, the actual officers' names, the types of weapons, or as they like to and prefer to call them launchers that they use for these types of weapons. But we're also now going back in time, and we're putting the pieces of the puzzle together that show that this was probably a deliberate and concerted effort, because the individuals that were launching these rounds, we're talking about actual training officers. We're talking people that are certified and trained to train others on the legitimate, legal, and moral, ethical, and proper use of these quote-unquote less than lethal weapons. The problem is that these less lethals can be lethal if they are fired improperly and if they are targeting and aiming at parts of the body where the manufacturers not only warn against. I mean, it's very explicit that you do not fire these at people's heads, at their eyes, at their face, at their neck, at their kidneys, at their groins. There have been people in other riots around the country who have been killed by these exact weapons that were used on the January 6th crowd. And again, when I say weapons, they prefer the word launchers. But nevertheless, this was what was done. And because these were individuals that were out there in the very early morning of the earliest minutes, rather, of the riot, we actually have tracked them additionally. We haven't got to this part of the story yet, but we've additionally tracked their arrival to see that they are arriving with these weapons before the riot even broke out, before the first barricade breaches even took place. They were already loading up early that morning They were loading up their backpacks, which is another thing that's rather suspicious. And then they were loading up these launchers, and that they were deploying before there were even any signs of a riot or problems to take place at the Capitol that day.
Well, how common would it be, Steve, and according, I'm sure you asked your sources this, how common would it be for them to prepare for just any rally that day with those types of weapons that they'd be prepping with and preparing for and bringing to the rally itself? Is that something that's common?
Yeah, and they should. I mean, look, when we're talking about Capitol Police, we're talking about Metropolitan Police, Park Police, or any law enforcement agency across the country, when you know that there's going to be a major protest event, you always have your specialized troops held and ready and, you know, maybe somewhere in the background, but ready to be deployed at a moment's notice. And this was the case for what they call at the Capitol Police, their civil disturbance units. And these less lethal, squads, they were part of the Capitol Police CDU, program. And we know from our own research that the only division that day that was given a morning roll call briefing and the only division that day that was told that something might be happening today that we need to be concerned about were the CDU units. Now, when you look out there across all of those other Capitol Police officers on the West Terrace battle line, those that were holding off the fence line at, on the east side before that line broke through and they all went up the steps on that side, those officers, we know from testimonies, even in J6 trials, were never notified. We know that they did not have their typical roll call meetings. We know that intelligence was withheld from them. But for some reason, CDU were given a morning briefing, and this is where it gets really fun, Brianna. This is not in the story, but we've covered this in the past, is that in January of 2023, the Capitol Police finally released a 16-page, what they called, it was the actual, what they claimed was the morning roll call briefing, which explained to those officers what was coming that day and what to be prepared for. And we ourselves sent that to actual Capitol Police CDU officers who are sources of ours. And they said BS, Barbara Streisand. They said that was made up after the fact, that was postdated, that was not what we were briefed on that morning.
Isn't that something? Yeah, it just, Steve, the more we learn about this, the more it sounds like this was a well-orchestrated event on the behalf of certain people, to make sure that this was going to explode that day and become really just kind of what we saw unravel, with all the agitators that we continue to see and learn more about. So it's frustrating from that angle. But I want to talk also about the people who were injured during that. There was a lot of people, I mean, I remember, I'm sure everyone in our audience remembers too, that poor guy who was shot with a rubber bullet that went through his cheek and broke through his skin. I mean, these people are entitled, I think, to get some type of compensation. I know that the Proud Boys filed their lawsuit when it came to their persecution, but it wasn't anything related to J6, but the DOJ claiming in the Proud Boys lawsuit that they had full immunity against constitutional right violations, and that's what they're trying to use to dismiss the lawsuit that's filed by Tario and others. So not surprising there, of course, that they're trying to get that dismissed. This is the gentleman I'm speaking about. Are you hearing anything on the front of that the DOJ is going to be willing to kind of settle these lawsuits, especially those who are injured? I mean, these people are owed money. I mean, they have forever have damages to their face, injuries. Obviously, we've seen the multiple fatalities due to law enforcement's behavior that day. Are you hearing any rumors that they're going to be willing to settle this lawsuit or just settle with everyone who's injured, I guess I should say?
You know, actually, we're hearing a lot of frustration to the opposite and not good news. We're seeing this DOJ like the old DOJ. Maybe the old DOJ was weaponized against the J6 community, but this DOJ doesn't seem to be riding in on a white horse to fix everything. Certainly not after the pardons. The pardons, it's almost like after Trump issued the pardons, everybody went, okay, we're done. We can move on now because it's all settled, but it's not settled. As you've pointed out, people's lives have been ruin. They've been destroyed financially and every other imaginable way, physically, suicides, et cetera, et cetera. This is one of the reasons why we continue to bring these truths to the American public, because even if government doesn't self-correct, if government doesn't give the reparations that should be required for this type of behavior, at the very least, we have to get this information into the historical record that our government not only behaved poorly on the other side of this current administration's timeline, but it's also not doing what it needs to be doing now either, and certainly not at the pace it should be and could be. But I want to be very, very specific. We are going to be showing even more criminal negligence and more what appears to be, as you properly identified a moment ago, actual planning to use these weapons in this manner. Brianna, these are highly, highly accurate weapons out to a certain distance. And at the distance in those first 10 minutes when they were used by Capitol Police before Metropolitan Police arrived, and they really went crazy. You're seeing these grenades going off right now. That's that officer right there. He should be criminally charged. That guy needs to be arrested. He needs to be in a prison cell somewhere. That guy was also a training officer from Metropolitan Police. We've done a story on him, and he absolutely deliberately and with forethought illegally fired rounds from that 40 millimeter cannon that he had there. But those Capitol Police officers up in the crow's nest, those that were shooting down, that's before they reestablished a barricade on the West Front. And these people were only 20, 25 feet from them in a range where these weapons were highly accurate. And it was no mistake that they were hitting them in the face, in the head, in the back of their own officers' helmets with pepper gun. This was a deliberate act. And I'll close this section out here by saying this. I was told by somebody from the Department of Defense who is very, very, very familiar with these exact launchers that were used. And he said, as a training officer, those training officers who were firing that's the group right there. Those training officers who were firing these launchers into that crowd, into people's faces and heads, have actually said themselves, if they've done training classes and trained others in the use of these weapons, oh, by the way, now, if you want to start a riot, shoot people in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could understand why that would be a cause to start a riot. I mean, we're sitting back and we're watching the footage and you're watching people who are just, you know, maybe they're not supposed to be in that section or that area. That could lead to just arrests. That's probably the best way to approach that. But instead, they are firing upon these people. And of course, that's going to agitate a crowd and create chaos. And that's exactly what they were looking to do that day. So again, it's no surprise here. We need justice, and we also need our DOJ to do its job and to stop covering for the last administration, because we know what they did was wrong, and start making amends to all of this. You know, they had no problem in certain states dishing out millions and millions of dollars to BLM protesters who were violent, who were assaulting law enforcement officers that day, but they didn't care. They still gave them millions, specifically also New York City as well, that state AG actually helped that case as well, so these people could get paid for being there and causing all of this. But also, you know, we're seeing it time and time again. Those who were incarcerated due to J6, who weren't even there that day, like Enrique Tarrio, he had a lawsuit, and I had no idea this happened to him, but he had a lawsuit that was pending. It was done by a church who alleged that he had taken down a BLM flag, and they sued him for a BLM flag. And get this, the DOJ, the Bureau of Prisons, it's ran under the DOJ, refused to take him to his civil court dates. And as a result of that, the judge actually issued a $3.2 million penalty for him in regards to that and what he has to now pay the church. And he can't get that money back. He actually owes now this church $3.2 million and never actually had his day in court because the Bureau of Prisons didn't want to take him to his court date. And so there's many people who that just comes to mind on top of my head. There's many people who are owed money, who are owed millions and millions of dollars by this federal government. They had no problem issuing it for BLM terrorists in certain cities. I don't see an issue with it here. And I know President Trump himself is suing to the DOJ for their lawfare against him. According to reports, his lawyers are asking for something around like $230 million, which sounds great, and I hope that he gets that. possibly, and then dishes it out to these other individuals who can't afford attorneys, who were there for J6 and also were persecuted. So we've got that element. But I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about our FBI for a bit, because, Steve, you're on this beat these days too as well. You know, you and I were critical of the last administration and how they operated under Christopher Wray, this FBI. And we are going to hold this new administration accountable as well, regardless of who's in the White House or who's potentially our, or who is our friends. They're over at the agency. We're going to be critical of them and make sure that everyone's held accountable. But I thought the story was really interesting. It came out yesterday from Bloomberg Law, and I fact-checked this, and it is accurate. Okay, so just remember that. We're calling this FBI whiplash because, folks, apparently there were several FBI agents who allegedly worked on the Arctic Frost investigation with Jack Smith's office, and they were fired for it, but then they were quickly rehired because they were working on a case with the D.C. U.S. attorney, Judge Jeanine Pirro. As many of you guys know, she's the one who had the Fox show. Was a very, very sweet woman, of course. But according to these sources, who I vetted as well, they said that, however, two to four of those individuals returned to work on Tuesday, and they were immediately fired again and pushed out of the FBI building. Now, again, I fact-checked this. This is true. This report is factually correct. These agents were, in fact, brought back into the office and then quickly tossed back out. I'm told that this isn't, you know, this isn't exactly an FBI-related issue when it comes to who may be effed up here. This could possibly be somebody else. But again, this is all hearsay, but they're 100% telling me that this story is true. So, Steve, what do you make of it? Because we see time and time again, there's a lot of slip-ups over at the FBI these days, whether it's releasing information too soon about potential ISIS terror plots. And now this, they're seeing people get fired and rehired and fired again. What do you make of this?
I see this as some of the continued chaos that we're getting from the current administration leading the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is just an ongoing problem within the Bureau right now. I'm going to take two steps back very quickly, though. And I'm going to reiterate, before I talk about Cash and Dan and company, I'm going to reiterate that from the very beginning, we were excited, promoting, we were cheering on the nomination, we applauded, we gave a standing ovation to the confirmations of Kath and Cash and Dan, and then it seemed like immediately you and I, doing our jobs as analysts and covering the news, have been many times more honest than the rest of the quote-unquote right-wing media have been. And we've called balls, strikes, and fouls legitimately since then, not deliberately trying to look for problems within the Bureau, not trying to deliberately look for problems in Cash's life or personal life or his personal behaviors or his use of the jets or, you know, any of the other crazy tweets that have come out of the Bureau. But you and I have even stood up to the midnight phone calls asking us to suppress our speech. We have stood up to the calls to our bosses. I don't know if you've been subjected to that, to suppress our coverage. But these things have happened. And through it all, we still want the best from this current administration. And I will admit that this administration has maybe the most difficult job in the federal government, possibly, well, maybe only possible more corrupt agency or more anti-American, more anti-Trump agency would be CIA. But FBI is a deeply infected deep state entity. And it's going to take more than just a half a dozen good guys on the seventh floor of the Hoover building to root that out. I still believe that FBI is beyond repair. Mm-hmm. I believe in what our friend J. Michael Waller has said, what our friend Steve Friend has said, and what others have said, is that this is something that absolutely, speaking of, getting messages from your boss, that's happening right now. So I apologize for that, but I had to give a thumbs up on a
You're a busy man. I know you're working on a great story too.
We've got more coming on what we've been talking about today, but one of the biggest things and the biggest passions I have right now is if we're going to have a Federal Bureau of Investigation, it needs to be healthy enough. It needs to be nonpartisan enough that it can do its job and do it without, political preferences, without weaponizing itself against either side. It needs to be an independent agency, and it is not. That agency is at the very least 60-70% infected by First America, anti-MAGA, anti-Trump individuals, and that's been the process of hiring and placing and promoting throughout that bureau for, you know, the last 20 years. And so it's far worse than any one guy can do, you know, can take care of. And again, giving Kash Patel, Dan Bongino all the grace that I can possibly offer to them, I think it is beyond their ability to repair that agency. But I also don't think that either one of them were prepared for what they ran into. And I would offer them one suggestion, and that is close your X accounts, stop tweeting.
Yeah. I mean, Steve, that's probably good advice, given the fact I've caught the FBI director now 3 times putting out information that was either premature or inaccurate. I mean, when he announced the arrival of the agreement of the whistleblowers, that was a week too soon because they actually didn't come to an agreement when he made the announcement on X. We also saw that he went out there and said they arrested a suspect involved in the shooting of Charlie Kirk. We knew that was actually not a suspect, just a person that they were looking to speak with. And sadly, that person may have had some type of name damage or probably undergo a lot of individuals reaching out to him and sending him threats as well, I'm sure. And then we saw that the ISIS-inspired terror plot allegations came. And although he didn't use the word ISIS, he did say they stopped a terror plot that was supposed to allegedly take place on Halloween weekend. That seemed to be premature. There was a lot of reports that they put out that information prior to there even being a criminal complaint drafted up. We do know that there's a minor involved in this story as well. So that seemed to delay a lot of things from going public immediately. But again, this isn't something someone who I would expect who has, you know, the legal background and who now is a member of law enforcement would be putting out there. Normally there's a press release that gets put out there. There's a press conference scheduled. And so it all just seems quite strange. And I know that he's receiving a lot of flack for taking the flights around the country with him and his girlfriend. My thoughts are, although I know it's not illegal, the ethical questions here that some are asking are valid only because Kash Patel himself had those same questions when it was Christopher Wray doing it. And we have the video still to this day where he was talking about this. I think he was on with Benny Johnson, and he was very critical of Christopher Wray. So again, they could sit here and get really upset that we're talking about this, but the harsh reality is they themselves were doing just that just less than 2 years ago. And so it's not really surprising, though, that they are upset that we are the ones speaking out still on this front, because accountability to me doesn't have any party lines. And I know that's the same for you, Steve, as well. Thank you for the continuously good coverage that you have. I know you're working on a great story as well, so we look forward to having you back on whenever you release that, whether it's this week or next week. So thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you. Folks, I want to remind you all that we have 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales going on right now. Head on over to the store, thealexjonesstore.com, 25% off site-wide for a limited time. Grab your gear now.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80-plus percent reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help, too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us. A lot happening throughout the country in the elections that were taking place yesterday. We're trying to give you some overview as to what took place. You know, we obviously talked about how New York City flipped red, but the wrong kind of red. But we want to focus on other places like Texas. Now, Texas, of course, had several different constitutional amendments on the ballots, and it was very, very interesting. But there was a key one that I thought was very important, and Texan voters actually did approve it in regards to requiring that the individuals weighing in on our elections are actually U.S. citizens. Now, that's a strange thought. Some in, you know, let's just say blue states don't seem to agree with that, especially in blue cities, of course. But the reality of it is here in Texas, they seem to understand that they need to make that a top priority. But is it really anything positive at this point? Because, again, the element of, well, how does the polling areas know that you're an actual U.S. citizen? Are we asking for ID in Texas? And they are not asking for ID in Texas. And that's probably a big one that should be willing to take on right now. Joining me to discuss is Texas Representative Brian Harrison. He joins us now, and we're excited to have him on because he is going to give us the fair and balanced recap yesterday of all things that happened on Election Day here in the great state of Texas. So it's an honor to have him on the program. So thank you for being here, Representative Harrison. We're excited to have you on. All right, so I just want some overview. I know a lot of people were excited to see that Texans voted in support of U.S. citizens weighing in our elections. Of course, that's important. But you've highlighted the fact that it's not really anything that we could kind of cheerlead for right now, because we don't ask for voter ID when people show up to the booths.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's a good thing, and I'll tell you the good first. The good and what's encouraging about it is that the voters of the state of Texas overwhelmingly support election integrity. The voters of the state of Texas are conservative. They are Republican. They want bold Republican leadership. They want bold conservative leadership. These are the same people that reelected President Trump with a 14-point landslide, and they are sick and tired of gamesmanship happening at the ballot box. So they want to make sure that we're at least doing the basics here in Texas. And you're right, it shouldn't really be controversial that you should be a U.S. citizen to vote in our election. So that's the good, is that the voters of Texas agreed with that and agreed with it overwhelmingly. Here's the not so good. The reality is that despite the rhetoric from the leadership of the Texas government, the uniparty liberal swamp in Austin, okay, that will tell you that this is going to be the game changer, this is now our elections are secure, they're just lying to you because they're not telling you the full part of the story. And here's the reality. It's already been illegal in the state of Texas for non-citizens to vote. That's been the case for a long time. So that even while this is a good thing, I support it, I voted for it, this is unfortunately not going to stop even one single voter, illegal alien, from voting in our elections. And I'll tell you why. Because we did not pass a single serious, strong piece of election integrity in all three sessions all this year. And in fact, even though people think that Texas is a photo ID state, the reality is the Texas government has still not even passed a law to require photo IDs at the ballot box. They'll ask you for it, but what they don't know is they snuck in these exceptions into the law that says, well, if you don't have an ID, don't worry, just show up with your utility bill or a government check and you'll be given a ballot. So no, the reality is that while President Trump is taking things like illegal immigration and election integrity very seriously, the state of Texas, unfortunately, is engaged in just a bunch of smoke and mirrors and a shell game, and they're not being direct, they're not being bold in the way that the voters of Texas absolutely. Well, like I would imagine most of your viewers right now had no idea that the Texas government does not actually require photo IDs to be able to vote.
Yeah, one would think that that would be like a day one thing that we would have fought for.
Right.
Again, we keep hearing that we're red states, and I'm not seeing any signs of that. It's very much appears to be purple from those looking on the outside in. So that's really frustrating on that front. And also the primaries, it seems to be quite interesting that the state of Texas has open primaries. Why would you allow, if you really loved your state and you really loved your party, why would you allow others who aren't trying to be affiliated with the party to weigh in on who your next nomination is? What's the very latest on that battle as well?
Yeah, I'll try to answer both of those in order. You talked about, you know, Texas people thinking it's red, but we're acting more purple. The reality is the Texas voters are red. The hardworking, overtaxed men and women of the state of Texas, they are dyed-in-the-wool, conservative, liberty-loving Republicans. But the Texas government is actually quite blue. And in fact, on the heels of last night's election in New York City, it's important to note that it is quite literally, this isn't rhetoric, it is literally the party of Mamdani that selects the so-called Republican leadership team in the Texas House. The Democrat caucus, the Mamdani supporters in the Texas government actually elect the leadership team in the supposedly Republican state of Texas. We have a Barack Obama White House official who's the House parliamentarian. So like the Texas government is actually much bluer than anybody realizes or wants to admit. On to the other issue regarding our primaries. Again, things that shouldn't be controversial, right? You should be a citizen of the United States to be able to vote. That shouldn't be controversial. Turns out it is. Also, Republicans should get to select the Republican nominee for elected office. But unfortunately, in the state of Texas, we do not have closed primaries. And so what happens is we have closet Democrats running for office and getting elected by literal Democrats who are switching over and voting in Republican primaries. And I have no idea why the governor of the state of Texas and our secretary of state appear to oppose the wishes of the Republican Party down here, which is to close our primaries and make sure that it is only people who are actually Republicans that get to elect the Republican nominees for office in the state of Texas. It's just one of the countless examples of the way that the supposedly Republican government of the state of Texas is actually subverting the will of the actual Republicans who call Texas home.
Yeah, and I don't understand what the rebuttal on that would be in regards to allowing these to stay open. It doesn't make any sense to me. If you love your state, if you love your party, if you love the so-called beliefs you claim to align with, you would want to make sure that those who oppose those views wouldn't want to infiltrate, and they would be able to do so through open primaries. And so it never seemed to make any sense to me. I don't understand why.
No, they do. I mean, and just one other statistic that will shock your viewers. When I got elected in the Texas House of Representatives, where we have a massive majority, I think it was over a full quarter of my caucus, Republicans, were quite literally endorsed by the Texas affiliates of Randy Weingarten's teacher union. I mean, this is how messed up the supposedly Republican government is here in the state of Texas. And then we may talk about this too, but like, you know, while President Trump and DHS and ICE, they're taking action in the state of Texas to crack down on things like illegal immigration. I mean, ICE announced a few days ago they busted 11, I think, I know over 100. Illegal aliens driving on our roads here in Texas. Well, my office uncovered and then verified the state of Texas is actually, instead of helping President Trump to combat illegal immigration, we're facilitating it. The Texas DMV is actually allowing illegal aliens to register vehicles in the state of Texas, endangering millions of people on Texas highways. And so I've demanded that the Texas DMV immediately take action, because it doesn't appear to me that they've taken any action to make sure that only U.S. citizens are registering vehicles. This juxtaposed against the Trump administration's unprecedented border security efforts. I mean, the state of Texas should be a force multiplier for President Trump's conservative actions, like on election integrity and like on immigration enforcement. But instead, the Texas government is turning a blind eye, and in some areas, some ways, actually helping the radical leftists who support open borders and unchecked illegal immigration.
Yeah, there's no reason for us to allow all of this. And I was actually going to ask you too. I know the Transportation Department has made this a top priority to crack down on these illegal aliens obtaining CDLs and driving on our roadways. I actually, and just a side note, I think it's a good laugh, but it shouldn't be funny. New York and other states, blue states, are giving out driver's licenses to individuals who they won't even verify what their first name is, and in fact are writing no name on the line. We've seen two examples of that, of New York licenses, the DMV even confirming that these licenses were authentic. And so they're just allowing all these people to run rampant. But when you think, well, why would the state of Texas be giving them vehicle registrations and encouraging this behavior? It's a real head scratcher. But have you heard from the secretary, Sean Duffy, about what you broke the other day? Because, I mean, it's been about 2 days. Has anyone reached out to you to talk about that?
So I was actually very pleased. First of all, Secretary Duffy's doing a great job on that front. But I was very pleased with Secretary Noem and the leadership of the Department of Homeland Security. They actually amplified, with their official Department of Homeland Security social media feed, they amplified and promoted the letter that I wrote to the Texas DMV demanding that the Texas DMV stop facilitating, effectively, illegal immigration and facilitating illegal aliens registering vehicles to drive on our roads. And I'm glad you mentioned New York and other blue states that are absolutely issuing driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Well, guess what? I recently learned it as I was uncovering the scandal at the Texas DMV, which, by the way, the Texas DMV better take action on this. Governor Abbott appoints the leadership of Texas DMV. There is no excuse for this. If Governor Abbott wants to say with a straight face he's trying to combat illegal immigration, then Texas DMV will issue new rules to stop this immediately. But here's one part of the scandal that I recently uncovered. The Texas DMV, keep in mind, California and many other states issue legit driver's licenses to illegal aliens. The Texas DMV will allow you to register a vehicle if the only identification you show comes from one of these blue states that is issuing driver's licenses to illegal aliens. We are saying the official position of the state of Texas is, if you show up with a driver's license from a state that issues licenses to illegal immigrants, good enough for us. Give us sign the paper, and we will hand you your paper. We are effectively, the state of Texas, the Republican supposed state of Texas, is in fact facilitating illegal immigration when we should be leading the fight against illegal immigration and for secure borders.
Yeah, and the governor of Texas has come out and said that 1 in 4 ICE arrests are actually happening in the state of Texas. If that stat is true, which it sounds like it's true, that's a really, really scary number. Now, I get it, right? They have to come through Texas for the most part. Yeah.
But it's a damning indictment of the manifest and abject failures of the state of Texas to be securing our own borders, to be securing our elections, and to be stopping all of the incentives, the magnets that are drawing, especially during the Biden years, but that drew millions of illegal immigrants into our country, many of whom are criminals, many of whom are terrorists, many of whom are cartel members. What an abject failure. And in fact, thanks to the Trump administration just a month or so ago, it's not theoretical anymore. We know for the fact that illegal aliens by the thousands, literally thousands, are on the voter rolls in the state of Texas. What an abject embarrassment of the colossal failure of the supposedly Republican leadership of the state of Texas that we have thousands and thousands of illegal immigrations that we know about, that we caught only because of an initiative by the Trump administration, by the way, not because of an initiative by the Texas state government, but because the Trump administration is taking this so seriously. Thousands of illegal aliens, they're not just getting registered to drive vehicles. They're being registered to vote in the state of Texas. And this madness has got to stop.
Yeah, it's crazy because when I was covering the story in New York, they were their green light law was allowing individuals who were not U.S. citizens to obtain driver's licenses, and they were easy to register them to vote. It was easy to register them to vote because there was a quick box that they had to check off. They wanted to automatically be added to the registry. So you expect it in places like New York, but you don't expect it in places like Texas. Again, it's quite the head scratcher that this happened in the first place. Before you go, Representative Harrison, I want to ask you about this because I quite often hear all of these empty threats from the governor, Greg Abbott. And it's quite discouraging that he continues to make them. But he issued a threat prior to Zohreh Mahdani getting elected as mayor of New York City. This one, apparently he's saying that he promises to place 100% tariff on New Yorkers who are fleeing the Big Apple to move to the state of Texas. Now, obviously, that's going to catch a lot of headlines because most people who are from the great state of Texas don't want New Yorkers, unless it's me, of course, to move to the state. But this one doesn't really seem to make sense as to how he'd even implement this. It's just all hot air.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he hired a new social media intern who had a background in comedy writing. Okay, I have no idea. Nobody even knows what that means. I mean, at best, it's some kind of trolling tweet. But here's the thing. You want to be serious, Governor? How about you take to your social media, Governor Abbott, says that we've banned Sharia law in the state of Texas. That's an abject lie. You want to be serious? You want to do something real? Post this. Announced today, Governor Abbott, that you're calling the legislature back for a special session to actually ban Sharia law. Governor Abbott, you take to social media all the time and say that Texas has banned DEI. The reality is Texas might be the biggest funder of DEI in America. Call a special session so we can end DEI. Governor Abbott, you say we have banned transgender indoctrination in our public universities. I bet every single public university in the state of Texas is spending untold millions of dollars funding the transgender agenda and indoctrination of the next generation. Call a special session to end that. You want to brag about this constitutional amendment on illegal aliens voting in Texas? Call a special session and bring us back to pass any of the hundreds of strong election integrity bills that were killed by the Democrat-controlled, at least partly, Texas legislature. Those are the kind of tweets that would get me excited coming out of Governor Abbott, not some, you know, humorous, cutesy troll about an election in New York City that's going to have catastrophic repercussions, not just for people in New York, but all across the country.
Yeah. And, you know, you got a point there when it comes to they love saying that they want to ban Sharia law. But the reality of it is the Constitution already does that. So the argument itself is one that is questionable, I think. But if he was truthful about wanting to get rid of Sharia law, maybe he would stop using taxpayer money, according to the Rare Foundation, to send over to these mosques. The Rare Foundation, which is R-A-I-R, if you guys want to look it up yourself, put out a report saying that our own taxpayer money is going to several of these mosques that are preaching about things allegedly related to not wanting to or going after those who are non-believers ultimately. And this is deeply concerning. And again, they're raising this issue. Amy Meck is the great reporter over there who is the one who went through all of this. And again, I don't understand why in Texas your taxpayer money is going to a mosque.
No, she has amplified this, and I have worked with Amy. She's doing fantastic work. But here's the reality. Far too few elected Republicans have the courage to speak the truth about the threat from radical Islamic-affiliated Islamists and the rise of Sharia adherence, not just in the United States, but in Texas specifically. And my office confirmed, based on that reporting from Amy, my office independently confirmed that, yes, in fact, the governor's office doled out millions of dollars in grant money to these organizations. They may well have terror ties and may well be advocating the violent overthrow of the United States of America. So not only are the elected Republican leadership in the state of Texas completely lying when they say that we have, quote, banned Sharia law. I'm in the legislature. We've passed no such law to do that, number one. Number two, we are absolutely funding many of these organizations that, almost certainly have terror associations and are advocating for the violent overthrow of the United States. So that should be the absolute bare minimum, not one penny of the hardworking and overtaxed men and women of the state of Texas should ever go to a terror-affiliated organizations. And it absolutely looks like from the work that my office has done to verify some of Amy Meck's fantastic reporting that that is, in fact, happening in Texas, and those grants are being approved by the governor's office.
Yeah, that's really discouraging. And before you go, I wanted to ask you a quick question. I know this wasn't one that was planned, but since we're on the topic itself, yeah. I saw that Congressman Chip Roy has just recently, he went to the Blaze, and he's going to introduce something called the No Tax Exemption for Terror Act, which is expected to go after CARE, which is the organization which advocates, so they say, for American Muslims. And there's many who accuse it of having ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas, though. But he's looking to possibly pull their tax exemption. Is this something that you think has some legs on it?
Well, I hope it does. I fully support those efforts by my friend Congressman Chip Roy and others, because again, the bare minimum that should be happening here, this should not even be controversial, mm-hmm. is that organizations like that should not receive one penny of tax. I mean, Texas, we got the highest effective property tax rate in the country. Literally true. Mm-hmm. We're taxing Texans out of their home and apparently to promote a radical leftist agenda, ideology, DEI, transgender indoctrination, corporate welfare, Hollywood, and as it turns out, grants to some of these very concerning Islamic organizations. So I hope this has legs, and I fully support that.
Perfect. Yes. Well, it's good to hear that, of course, because we do as well. So thank you so much for joining us, Texas Representative Brian Harrison. It's always good to catch up with you. You shoot straight with us, and we are very grateful.
Always
for
great
that.
To be with you, Brian. I appreciate the work you do educating not just Texans, but people across the country about the failures of the so-called Republican Texas government down here. So we Texans deserve freedom and liberty. We should be the number one state in America for liberty. We're not quite living up to that, and I appreciate your work exposing it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm here for the fight, so we will make that happen. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate that. Folks, I want to talk about another great fighter in the great state of Texas, Sarah Gonzalez. Okay, she's a friend of mine, so I'm a little biased in this front, but she just put out a new video, and it triggered the left, so I figured we'll play it here. Take a listen.
Honestly, being a pushover is what's wrong with Texas politics. They say that borders are immoral and that men belong in little girls' locker rooms. Well, here's what I have to say about that.
Sarah, I don't know if we can do this. It just insinuates too much violence.
Okay, so what if I tell the audience that it's a metaphor so they just know I'm metaphorically shooting at pedophiles and evil leftists?
It doesn't really sound like you're kidding. You're kidding, right?
Yeah, no. Of course I'm kidding. I would never suggest that people who are trying to harm our country and, you know, put porn in school libraries and otherwise destroy children be blown up in a very violent way. I would never do that.
Who are you looking at?
No one. So are we going to do this or not? It's a metaphor. My show, Come and Take It, every Tuesday, where this is what I do. Metaphorically, of course. Gotta go.
Sarah.
Okay, I'm a little biased, but I truly do love that. Sarah Gonzalez doing an incredible job at that promo. That's how you promote something that you're working on. And when she told me she was doing that, I didn't know how it was going to turn out. But it really was a great promo. So good on her. Good on her. I want to turn to how miserable liberals are. This is an issue that speaks true to me at this point. Liberals told you to put down your stakes because it was bad for the environment. They told you not to have kids because of the climate impact. But now they're switching up gears and they're going after your dogs. And I sure as heck won't allow them to go after my GR Giuseppe. But now they want to go after your pets because, well, they say that dogs are bad for the climate impact that they bring on. Now, folks, listen, my GM, my Giuseppe, they eat steak, they eat chicken, and they will not stop doing just that. But there was a new video that was put out by the Associated Press that advocates for you to be more aware of your pet's climate impact. Take a listen.
Pets bring us joy, but they also leave a surprising paw print on the planet.
Now, when it comes to those environmental impacts, it's their food, basically, and in particular, the ingredients in their food. Dogs and cats both eat pretty highly meat-based diets. And what do we know about meat? It's one of the key drivers of climate change.
What else do pets do? Like, we have to feed them. I think that that's why it's number one. Agriculture and where food comes from and ingredients has a huge impact.
But our choices go beyond the food bowl. Even how we bring pets into our homes matters.
If there are dogs in the world that already exist that need homes, it seems to be a more responsible decision for the planet than going through a breeder.
This is basically an area of climate change that we just haven't touched yet, which offers relatively simple extant climate change mitigation benefits that I think we should all be quite excited about and working towards.
Oh, you couldn't hate those on the left anymore. They're coming for your pets. And the good news is G and Giuseppe are registered Republicans. I'm just kidding. But they will not put up with this. They will not put up with this. They will be getting steak tonight for dinner just at the expense of those liberal idiots. Folks, we've had enough of this. I'm done with this fake climate change nonsense that they keep pushing while their rich billionaires and multimillionaires continue to buy oceanfront property. They all know that they're full of garbage, and they just want us all to jump on board with that. I guess the goal here, though, is to mainly, oh, and there they are. That's the Giuseppe man. They are mainly, though, so upset that you get happiness from your pets, from children, from eating a steak dinner. They want us all on antidepressants, and they're coming after all of us for it. So according to them, they want you to live in a little studio apartment. No pets, no kids, no steaks, just your tofu and maybe a couple of bottles of wine every night. They'll allow you to do that, of course. I want to switch up gears a little bit, too, and tell you a little bit about the OpenAI takeover that's going on right now. There's a lot going on that front. I actually did an interview and sat in the panel with a bunch of really cool women, I have to say, for the Patrick Bet David's podcast. It's coming out next week. But we talked about this story specifically and how AI is taking over. Amazon is also working with OpenAI now. They just recently signed a $38 billion deal, which is also meant to go around Microsoft. They're trying to kind of dip out of that and try to focus more on other companies that will help them out. Amazon, obviously, looking to replace thousands of their employees with AI, of course. And this is a way of doing just that. They've announced that they're going to lose, I think it was about 30,000 jobs we reported earlier this year. I think it was last week. So this is all going to take place. But obviously, they're pairing up with NVIDIA as well. So this is going to be a big thing. And it has to do with the AI chips as well. So again, $38 billion of investment now. Folks, if you haven't done so already, it's a 30-day Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sale. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. There are so many incredible items to buy, 25% off today. So head on over to the shop and do just that. We have the Alex Jones signature blades. You got to head on over to the shop and grab those before they sell out, as well as Methylene Red, which we launched last week. All right, a lot coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall, Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Jumping on with us today. A lot going on around the country. You know, I thought our last story regarding the state of Texas and how the election turned out for them was going to be more of a positive story. But it turns out, you know, after we spoke to the great Texas Representative Brian Harrison, that's not truly the case. As many of you guys know, Texans did vote specifically for U.S. citizens to only be the ones weighing in on our elections. But he brought up a great point. How the heck do you know that someone's a U.S. citizen? We don't check ID here in Texas. And that's something that, like, even myself didn't even know. I don't get how you don't ask for ID. It's something that both sides can agree on, except those who are trying to steal the election. So that was great to talk to him and get that. Also, Harrison was putting Governor Greg Abbott's feet to the fire. And if you missed out on that interview, we'll put it up later as well over at band.video. But again, calling out the governor for, you know, sitting there putting out really cute tweets, but having very little action behind those tweets. So I think that's really, really important. But we're getting ready to talk more about New York City flipping red, but it's the wrong kind of red. It's communist red. The reality of it is, I've been preparing you for this for months now. I have specifically. I've been telling you all that Zoe Rand Madani was going to win this election. But most importantly, this was something that was plotted for a very, very long time. Gavin McGinnis is going to be joining us in just a moment after the break, but I wanted to make sure we highlighted just that because, again, folks, we keep talking about it, but it's so infuriating because there was a plot, and it's been going on since 2014, to get that man in this position before he was even a U.S. citizen. And if you're wondering, Rand, how do you know that? We have the tapes. We'll play it for you in a little bit. But the reality of it is Islam is going to take over if we do not push back. If those who are too afraid be called a really mean name, don't push back. Well, guess what's going to happen? We're all going to be on the losing side of this. So get over the fact that they're going to call you a name like Islamophobic. Yeah, you should be afraid. You should be afraid. Get over that. I know yesterday on X, people were sounding off. They weren't happy. Actually, I had to put my phone down for a couple minutes because I thought I was really going to go on a rant. So I wanted to save all that energy for today's show. So we will do just that in just a few moments. But a lot else happening. Mel Kay also joining the show as well because she was the one that was doing the document diving last week into the Biden auto pen report that dropped last week on the 28th. And she found something very interesting. We talked about it briefly yesterday, but Steven Spielberg's name pops up on the list as people who were involved potentially in auto pen and theatrics that you saw at the State of the Union. Apparently, according to the report, Steven Spielberg actually coached Joe Biden before he gave his State of the Union speech. Why would Joe Biden, someone who spent literally his entire life in politics, need a coach if he was A-okay and ready to serve this country? Well, folks, he wasn't. The cover-up was extensive, and even Steven Spielberg was involved in that, in my opinion. And so, of course, this is what we're dealing with now. Mel Kay is going to be joining us in the second part of the hour to sound off about that as well. So a lot happening on those fronts, folks. It's just so infuriating because, again, time and time again, there's not much happening. There's not much happening. We also had Steve Baker on the show, and we're going to have him on the show probably later this week, I'm thinking, because he's working on another bombshell report. But the reality of it is those within the Trump administration, those people who were friends of ours prior, they're not happy that we're calling them out. Steve Baker's doing an incredible job at that, too. So if you missed that interview, you're definitely going to want to hop over to band.video later to check that out, too, because, you know, Steve and I, we get phone calls when people don't like our coverage. Now, obviously, the phone calls don't scare me. I, you know, made a career off of not having access into the White House and other places. But Steve is fighting the good fight. And so that's one very important interview that you want to listen to, of course. Folks, if you haven't done so already, I just wanted to remind you all that over at the AlexJonesStore.com, we have
an incredible sale going on right now. It's a 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. It's going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide. So we're kicking off those sales early, of course. And we launched Methylene Red recently, just last week, and that is 25% off now. And we just got in those Alex Jones signature blades. Now, those are going to sell out fast because they make for a great Christmas gift, a great stocking stuffer as well for your fellow patriots. So you want to go over there now and make sure you grab that before we sell out, of course. And just to remind all of you at home, VIP membership is only $30 a month, and it gets you $40 in store credit each month. And it's the number one way to keep us on air and help fund our next operation. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you buy it before we sell out.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, alexjonesstore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country. And it really was a gloomy election day for most of us, especially if you are a former New Yorker like myself. Well, you didn't like what you saw in New York City. I knew it was going to happen, but you didn't want to see it. Supposedly over a million people thought that electing a jihadist communist to run New York City was a good idea. And we had to sit back yesterday and watch that as it all unraveled. I actually had to put my phone aside yesterday because I was very angry, very angry. It's not just the voters that are really ticking me off these days. It's the fact that New York doesn't really have a Republican Party to push back and to actually reach out to young voters who are feeling like they have nothing else to turn to besides communism. Besides communism. Now, most of them don't even know what they just elected. Sadly, they will find out the hard way, but they probably will flee before it gets really, really bad. But folks, yesterday we sat back and we listened to Zohra Mahdani's speech, and in clip 17, it gave you just commie vibes all over the place. Take a listen.
After all, the conventional wisdom would tell you that I am far from the perfect candidate. I am young, despite my best efforts to grow older. I am Muslim. I am a democratic socialist. And most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for any of this.
Now, of course, folks, that is going to be very interesting to see unravel for my former home. Joining me to discuss is Gavin McGinnis. He is the host of Get Off My Lawn over at censor.tv. And he is with us now to react. Gavin, I know you were one of the very few people who was calling this out early on in the game. You saw this coming. I saw this coming. Your reaction so far to what we saw last night take place in New York City?
It couldn't be worse. And he couldn't be a worse candidate. I mean, the only question is he retarded or evil? And I think it's both. I mean, the best case scenario is that he's an idiot. The worst case scenario is this is Muslim Brotherhood here to destroy the greatest city on earth. A city, by the way, that lost 3,000 of its members to a Muslim terrorist attack, not 25 years ago. Yet we elect a proud democratic socialist, which means communist, of course. Mm-hmm. And he's just another one of these rich kids where, just like Karl Marx, they get free stuff their whole life and they go, this is cool. Everyone should get this. But what people don't understand about New York is it's a very unique city in that It's a powder keg waiting to go off. So we had like 2,500 homicides a year, seven a day in the early 90s. Giuliani came along, and I didn't like it at first. I moved here in the late 90s. He started arresting people for jumping turnstiles and having stop and frisk and all these things that seemed excessive. It seemed like a police state. And all of a sudden, we went down from seven murders a day to less than one, where we are now. And that was all Giuliani's discipline. You need to be tough with New Yorkers because they're brats. We've got like 50% of New York City, if you add in like refugees and students and old people, are unemployed. It's already overwhelmed with welfare and idle hands are the devil's plaything. So you have these thugs, these kids just waiting to get into trouble. And Ma'am Danny's about to let them.
Yeah. Well, my friends who are members of the NYPD are outraged and they're really upset. I don't think people understand the ramifications of this. He will now have access to the counterterrorism database. And I don't think many people get that. I reached out to DHS for comment on that because I think this is something that our federal government needs to step in on, because the reality is this guy didn't get his citizenship until 2018. But I want to play clip 18 for you, because Steven Crowder, his undercover unit, Butch's Mug Club, they actually met up, and he didn't know he was being recorded, of course, but they met up with an individual who works for the Manzani campaign. He's one of their canvassing directors. And in this clip that I played repeatedly, he says that Zohran Mamdani didn't just randomly pop up, that in fact he was the plan since 2014. Take a listen.
It's not like this fool just came out of nowhere. Like, not at all. Like, this has been a coordinated, organizing effort for, since 2014.
2014, he became a U.S. citizen in 2018. So that tells you everything you need to know, that we imported someone who obviously had very questionable motives and is heavily funded by people that hate this country. Gavin, your reaction, because I know a lot of people don't understand it, don't see that this is a takeover, not just a communist takeover, but Islam is looking to conquer the West. And very few people understand that what we saw play out in London is now happening here in New York City right before our eyes.
Islam is incompatible with the West. It is the only culture that refuses to accommodate, assimilate. It refuses to bend. Muslims don't see America as America. They see it as conquered land that should be under Sharia law. That is their goal. And they're only 1% of the American population right now. But as we saw in Britain, where they're only probably 5%, they take over towns first. They take over Luton and Birmingham. They're going to take over Minnesota, and they're going to take over New York City the same way Sadiq Khan took over London. And I was saying this to Alex yesterday, we're about to have a Muslim problem for the first time ever. We are about to experience what it's like to deal with a culture that wants us to convert or die. And one of the scariest things is Alex Soros getting in bed literally with Uma Abedin and giving her control of his $24 billion open society. We're going to see a big shift towards jihad and Sharia and communism, which makes strange bedfellows, as we saw with the Iranian Revolution. When communists and Islamists get together, they don't get along and everyone suffers. So we are going back to Dinkins, New York, with 2,500 homicides a year. And you got to understand, too, you're talking about the NYPD. They were already bare bones. Like, you had guys at the 4-5 here in the Bronx doing 30-hour shifts. So they're already taxed to death, literally and figuratively. To reduce them more is going to be absolute chaos.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see the numbers. I mean, not excited for it, but the numbers in regards to how many of those NYPD officers and sergeants are going to apply for retirement just to get out of there before Madani's sworn in, because I'm sure that number's going to skyrocket. I know a lot of my friends telling me what their deadline is now, and they're going to be taking up that retirement now, some even losing out on benefits, but they don't want any part in this, and it's sad to see. But again, this is what's going on in New York City, and it's going to be a really, really bad day for them when this takes place. And for all people at home who maybe think that it's a little much when we sit here and say that they don't want anything to do with us, when in reference to Muslims itself and Islam. I want to just remind everyone that there's over 100 verses in the Quran which go after and call for acts of violence against those non-believers. So it's not like any other religion that we've seen thus far. And that's why you've seen them involved in so many genocides regarding Hindus, regarding Christians and Jews. So again, time and time again, we have a common enemy, and they even attack their own if they're not that radical or not radical enough for them. So we're not talking about people we have common ground with. They literally hate everyone that's not as radical as them. And again, it's not overstating. It's not fear-mongering. You just have to open up the Quran for yourself, which I normally wouldn't recommend, but read it if you don't know these verses. There's many lists online that will tell you exactly where to go, especially, and this is a part that really gets me, Gavin. I'll let you talk about this too. When you're looking at the numbers, I believe 80% of the voters for Zohran Mamdani, I think someone said, were female voters. Now, if you open up the Quran and read it, for those of you women at home who are not believers in Islam, it calls for some really heinous crimes against you, like potentially becoming their sex slaves. And it's well written in the Quran. We obviously know their prophet was a predator for a 9-year-old girl who he alleged was his wife. Again, this is not something that any women should be associated with. But, you know, Gavin, I sit back and I shake my head because so many women are so poorly researched on this issue, and they think they could get behind a candidate like this when he actually, in fact, is reading something and believes something that says that, yeah, if you're not a believer, that you could possibly be his sex slave.
It's insane. Have you heard of these Desis? It's a group called Drum, Desi's Rising Up and Moving, and they got him like 150,000 votes. These are mostly Hindus. Muslims murdered millions of Hindus in the formation of Pakistan. As the Hindus went south, they were stopped on trains by Muslims and mass slaughtered, beheaded. Yet these Indians, just like Queers for Palestine, can't wait to vote for him because he's brown. Or I saw that there was all these like signs for Zohran, and I'm looking, they all have turbans on. If you're wearing a turban, you're a Sikh. Muslims killed a million Sikhs. They're supposed to be, they were literally at war with Islam, yet they're proudly voting for their own demise, and it's just based on spite. And we're sitting here talking about how dangerous Islam can be, but that is only one factor with this guy. Like, he literally could not be worse. So he's an Islamist. That's bad. We saw that on 9/11. He's a spoiled brat that's never had a job. That's bad. We don't want spoiled rich kids running the greatest city in the world, the biggest city in America, the richest city in North America. He's also a communist in a city that's already broke. He's also anti-cop in a city that is predicated on crime. Without tough law and order, this whole city falls apart. And he's talking about, we're going to send social workers. We tried that in L.A. And guess what happened? Within hours, the cops that had been laid off were then rehired by the social workers, because it's basically nothing more dangerous than an EDP, emotionally disturbed person, call. So I'm listing like 5 reasons why this guy is terrible. And we could do this whole show on one of them, Islam. But they're all equally dangerous. And it's, you know what it is now? Politics has just become spite. Like the whole, there was local politics here in my, where I live up in Westchester. That was all blue. The conservatives got slaughtered in New Jersey, all over the country. And what is it based on? Hatred of Trump. And what is hatred of Trump based on? Just discipline. He's here. Tough love. Daddy said it's bedtime and you have to eat your vegetables. And they all hate him for that because strong men have created good times, and these good time weak people just can't wait to bitch and moan at Trump. So we are all suffering because of these bitter bitches who are just spiteful because daddy has started, you know, enforcing a little bit of discipline. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it is embarrassing. And you brought up the LGB point too to this. I want to remind our audience, yesterday we actually uncovered in that alleged ISIS plot that took place in Dearborn, Michigan. I got to page 40 where I found out when they were trying to vet potential places to allegedly take out this terrorist attack, that you just have to go to page 40 and you could simply read that they were actually using and they were looking at many places that the LGBTQ community goes to for bars and clubs. And so obviously this was one of their targets, it looks like, according to this document here you see on your screen. Again, that's the criminal report that came out from the DOJ on page 40. You could read it yourself. But again, these people don't like the rainbow community, and for some reason, they just don't seem to learn that. And there was also the video, too, in Stephen Crowder's reporting, which has this individual who's the director of his campaign saying, yeah, we're sending lesbians into mosques, and it's so strange, but we're doing it. These people have no idea what they're getting themselves into, and sadly might actually learn the hard way. But Gavin,
we already went through this. Remember the Pulse nightclub?
Yeah.
How many people died there? Was it like 80? And the takeaway was that a man shot up, a straight man shot up a gay nightclub. And within, they got amnesia within a week, and it was back to MAGA wants to kill us. Even with the whole October 7th thing, they go, oh, these Nazis, these MAGA Nazis. Who was on the streets calling for the river to the sea, saying we need to globalize Antifada? It was blacks. It was refugees. It was white, rich kids, Marxist students, everyone but MAGA. Yet no Kings is out there calling us Nazis. Like, these people are their own worst enemy. Queers for Palestine should be the name of this segment, because that is exactly what they're all about. They're chickens for KFC. And, you know, these people are safest under my rule, under a patriarchy, because under, if they get their own way, if they get their communist Islamist utopia, they're the first to go. You and I will be fine. We're armed. They're going to be toast.
Yeah. They have no idea. They literally have no idea. And Gavin, I guess we get into the politics side of all of this, because in New York, I actually was thinking about running for the state Senate. I did so briefly by just going around and meeting with a lot of the GOP chair men at the county level and at the town level. And I was quite disturbed, because I just feel like they were so out of touch with what young voters, and I don't even mean young voters. I mean, I'm talking like people in their 30s, what they're looking for. And sadly, they just didn't get it. It's like they were a group of fossils. You know, we have people who only thought that they could vote for Zohran Mamdani because he was talking about reducing the cost of rent. Now, although his method for it is a scam itself, but he's really the only one out there talking about this. When it comes to the Republican Party in New York, are they really doing any type of outreach to try to reach out to people and answer these questions? Because the cost of living in New York is just through the roof.
Well, you've heard of a brain drain. We have a right wing drain here in New York, not just New York City, but a lot of New York State. They're all going to California. They're all going to Florida. And as you get less and less sane people, you have more and more lunatics, until the lunatics are running the asylum. And that's where we're at right now. Mamdani's only going to accrue more power. AOC could be our next president. She's one of the dumbest people in the history of politics, as inexperienced and socialist as Mamdani is. But as everyone gives up on states like this, the losers get more and more power. So we don't have a Republican base in New York. That's why we're doing things like voting for Cuomo. Can you believe that? Or right now, all my eggs are in Hochul's basket. I'm hoping that she has the sense to prevent him from instituting all these dumb things like $700 million in free buses and $60 million for free grocery stores and the whole notion of cheaper rent, which is just a made-up thing. He promised them the moon. He can't deliver on any of this. So all we're doing is hoping that Hochul, the great conservative hope for New York, tells him that none of this is plausible. That's where we're at. We're relying on Democrats to save us from Democrats.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting times. Well, first off, she actually said that she wasn't going to allow him to raise taxes because she just doesn't want people to flee anymore. And even Chuck Schumer was like, yeah, I'm not getting behind this guy and endorsing him publicly. That's all you guys. So, you know, it's really, really bad in New York when those who we've deemed as radical aren't radical enough for those they've imported into their party, Gavin. So it's quite interesting to sit back and watch. I want to thank you, Gavin, for joining us today. Again, folks, he's the host of Get Off My Lawn over at Censored.tv. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And welcome back to Twitter, by the way. I saw that you've recently, a couple of weeks ago, popped back up, and we're excited to have you back.
7-year gulag. That's got to be a world record. 7 years I was banned.
Isn't it crazy? And by the way, before you go, I guess I could ask you this. What's going on with that? Are you finding that you're shadow banned now that you've been brought back on, or do you think that you're getting accurate numbers these days?
I can't tell. I think I'm shadow banned. I don't get a lot of engagement, and the numbers, I get like a new follower every 3 days. So that seems suspicious when you have 250,000 followers.
Yeah.
But, you know, beggars can't be choosers in this world. We vote for Cuomo. We beg Democrats for help, and we thank X for at least shadow banning us, at least for a year.
Yeah, exactly. It's not as bad as what's happened before. So yeah, you got a point. You got a point, Gavin. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Folks, I wanted to also point you in this direction, too. Clip 19, we're going to play for you. CNN's triggered when Byron Donnell simply brings up the fact that Zohra Mamdani is a communist. Don't you dare say communist on CNN because they will defend their fellow communists. Take a listen.
When you put in communist and, yes, communist policies, that's what Zohra Mamdani is talking about.
He's not a communist. He's a democratic
works.
Socialist. He says he's ever.
I can't tell what the difference is.
Well, he can describe
explain what the difference is.
He can describe differences for you. The socialism is not the same basis of communism in this country. You know that quite
the
well.
The man wants to create government-run grocery stores. He wants free transportation, both of which are impossible to do. Because how
you
is
know
he,
that communism
how is, he,
is a trigger word to try to undermine all of his policies? He's not a. He says he's a.
I don't need
socialist.
To. I don't need to undermine his policies. His policies undermine himself.
Well,
because they've never
that.
Worked. Here's all I want him to do. Tell me where they've ever worked. They've never worked. He knows that. I knows that. But what he's trying to do is promise everybody something that they can't have. And the truth is there is no free lunch, just like there's no free bus. Because you know what happens when you have a free bus? There's nobody there to fix it or to drive it. He knows that. I know that. You know that. America does know it. And it's unfortunate that the city of New York, my former home city, is probably going to have to go through this.
Yeah, we all know that. We all know that that's going to be a major, major issue, of course. But again, CNN becomes unhinged, the trigger word for them. When you say the word communist, now you need to say the word communist because Democrats play these word games all of the time and they get away with it. Why do we allow them to get away with it when they could sit here and manipulate the words we get to use to help spin their narrative on things? They always love to lighten the blow, but the reality is he is in fact a communist, and that's why you couldn't hear that CNN anchor give a rebuttal as to what is the difference, because there is no difference between socialism and communism. It's just a way to disguise your political beliefs, and that is exactly what's happening in New York. And from the very beginning, we should have been screaming that he was a communist, and sadly, people waited to the very end to do just that. But Zohra Mamdani is also, and we're going to move on after this one, but Zohra Mamdani is also calling out Elon Musk in clip 22. He's actually going after Musk and issuing him this threat.
And the real risk you have in the U.S. isn't multiculturalism. It's a multi-billionaire running the biggest social media planet, one of the biggest in the world, which has turned into an echo chamber of your ridiculous ideology. And the fact that you're telling us all and telling the British public, who we're proudly multicultural, as someone that was brought up in multicultural working class Birmingham, I can tell you for sure that there's not a, you won't find a Muslim there who's read the Quran and went, oh, you know what, I didn't rule out sexual violence, so I might just crack on with that. I don't know what planet you're living on or what you're smoking, but I'd suggest that you do a course in religious studies before you start chatting.
Well, thank you for the ad hominem attacks. I'm sure that means you have a really strong argument, but I think the young working class girls who probably grew up in the same areas that you did would beg to differ. I don't understand what you're saying. I've read the Quran. I've seen what's in there. Even if you don't think that my interpretation of the Quran is correct, I would point you to, I don't know, what countries have the most issues when it comes to child brides and raping of young girls and children. It's obviously a systemic cultural problem with Islam. It's not a problem that is contained or unique to the West. And I don't know, last time I checked, this whole grooming gang phenomenon is what contained primarily to Muslim men, and it really only started when you started seeing mass migrants.
Natalie Winters, the very great Natalie Winters, going out there and I guess you could say doing a drive-by. That guy had no idea what was coming for him as he sits there and preaches the globalist agenda, trying to pretend like there's no threats to women. Yeah, of course there is, and you're an idiot if you feel otherwise. All you got to do is just dig into the Quran yourself. Again, I don't normally encourage this, but just to enlighten yourself, there's over 109 verses which have been interpreted as violent verses to go after non-believers. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Or if you just want to get like the cliff notes on it, Google it. And all of a sudden it will pop up on your Google search and it will outline the 109 verses that are deemed as violent threats against non-believers. Again, I don't want to make the show all about Islam, but the reality of it is yesterday was a historic day and we need to actually pay attention to what's going on here. And Natalie Winter is doing just that. All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the app. We never know when they're going to lock that front door over here. So you got to head on over right now, alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. Download the app And while you're doing that, of course, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because we are kicking off Black Friday a little early, but because we want to help you get the savings, of course. The 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. 25% off site-wide. That includes our new Alex Jones signature blades, which are available, of course, right now for a limited time. I'm sure we'll sell out of this quick for Christmas. Of course, everyone's going to want one of these. So head on over to the Alex Jones store and grab yourself some right now. We'll be right back.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it, get a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in here. He's hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of T-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, especially get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. All the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto shipping at canceling time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. We can't do it without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're wrapping up the third hour of the show. We've got about a couple more segments we're getting to because I've got so much to discuss. But we just saw that Zohran Mahdani is taking questions right now at a press conference. Let's see if he's saying anything of importance. Take a listen.
Very funny. Everyone is asking two very different questions. I'm trying to strike the right tone between all of them. New Yorkers are facing twin crises in this moment, an authoritarian administration and an affordability crisis. And it'll be my job to deliver on both. It'll be my job to stand up for the city and also to ensure that we do not look at Washington, D.C. as if it is the reason for all of the problems right here in New York City. Many of the issues we are speaking about, they predate President Trump. They are issues that for too long we have turned a blind eye to or we have sought to rationalize or normalize. And what I'm so excited by in looking at these incredible women who will be leading our transition is a track record of being able to handle multiple crises at the same time. Crises which so often for others might be the only focus. For so many of the people on this stage, they were one of many. And these are the crises of cost. These are the crises of conviction. These are the crises that have come to describe much of our politics. And I find immense confidence in the fact that we are already building a team that has shown its ability to deliver and that will continue to show that over the next 57 days and beyond. I cannot tell you that I had many quiet moments between last night and this morning, but some things that I have been left with, whether it was in sitting with my wife or with close members of my team without whom none of this would have been possible, is the sense of hope that New Yorkers have. When I left the venue yesterday evening, there were hundreds of New Yorkers waiting outside. And so many of them were young New Yorkers. So many of them, it may have been their first vote they were ever eligible to cast. And in their eyes and in their shouts and in their screams, I heard the potential for what our politics could be. And it's a potential for New Yorkers to not only be able to see themselves in those that lead them, but more importantly, to see their struggles. And just before this, I heard from an immigrant rights advocate who said that the moment that made her whole in the speech that I shared was when I spoke about this city as being one that was built by immigrants, that's powered by immigrants, and now that will be led by an immigrant.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the city of New York, although it was the mega hub for immigrants to come into this country, the reality of it is they weren't people who hated this country, and Zohran Mahdani is one of those people who hate this country. All I got to do is do some digging into his father's background as well, and you would understand exactly why he was sent here, got his citizenship back in 2018, and the plot was set back in 2014, so a new era for New York City. Yeah, it's definitely a new era, and it's not a good one. It's not a good one. So we will probably just dip out of that for the time being, because there's only so much I could listen to before I become unhinged. Yesterday, when the results were coming in of the election, I had to put my phone down and walk away because, well, folks, enough is enough. I don't know how much more of this we could all endure. We've been watching this for quite some time, and it is a communist takeover. Not enough people are listening to what we were trying to say. Sadly, they will learn the hard way. And as many of you know, I left New York in 2018. If you're wondering why, it's because I saw the writing on the wall. Andrew Cuomo absolutely destroyed New York through criminal justice reform. And I saw the socialist movement gaining more and more representation in Albany. And all you had to do was put two and two together and realize what was taking place. And it's unraveling in front of our very eyes. It wasn't hard to see. You just had to be paying attention. And many weren't. Many weren't. Speaking of that, I want to dip into something a little different. We're going to go to clip 20 because Nicole Wallace is talking about James Comey, or it looks like she's talking about John Brennan first. Let's take a listen to this one because it apparently is Nicole Wallace being very unhinged. Take a listen.
They're very dishonest people. I think they're crooked as hell. And maybe they have to pay a price for that. I believe they are truly bad people and dishonest people. So whatever happens, happens.
Hi again, everybody. It's now 5 o'clock in New York. Those comments made by Donald Trump about former FBI Director Jim Comey and former Director of the CIA John Brennan land a little differently after the series of political indictments of several of Donald Trump's critics, including that of Jim Comey himself. Months after those comments and a referral by CIA Director John Ratcliffe comes a renewed push from House Republicans to prosecute John Brennan. In a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi, Congressman Jim Jordan referred Brennan for prosecution over statements he made to Congress about the use of a now discredited dossier alleging ties between the Russian government and Donald Trump, claiming that Director Brennan lied in testimony about the use of the dossier in assessments about Russian meddling in the 2016 election. On our program back in July, Brennan said that all of these allegations are a retread of ground that has been, quote, fairly well and exhaustively plowed. And he is right. Marco Rubio and special counsel John Durham, who was appointed by Trump's handpicked Attorney General Bill Barr, feel the same way. Durham spent 4 years and $6.5 million and found no criminal wrongdoing on Director Brennan's part.
MSNBC finally admitting that the Steele dossier was fake, but they're saying that that's now been proven to be fake. Did you hear that? Did you catch that, folks? I mean, I remember when I was working at Lou Dobbs' show over at Fox Business, he was screaming from the rooftops about this every day. And what was that? That was 2018-ish? But now, good news. MSNBC is acknowledging just that. They don't think John Brennan should be prosecuted, even though everyone knows that he should be. And it should be for much worse than what that criminal referral suggests. The reality is they don't like the accountability tour because they are taking down their allies. Time and time again, we continue to see MSNBC advocating for the end of this so-called lawfare. Again, they think that they are on the receiving end of retaliation. They are not. This is the accountability tour, and they don't like it. They hate this. They are infuriated that this is happening now, but the reality of it is they've all been in bed, and no pun there for Nicole Wallace, with these deep state operatives. Again, folks, this is really enraging that this continues to go on, and they dismiss it as everything's okay. President Trump is going after his political opponents, people he doesn't like. He's just retaliating against those who went after him. No. You could take Trump out of it. The American people want accountability because we know whoever else is sitting in that seat, they are Republican. This will happen to them as well. This isn't about President Trump. This is about the American people, accountability for the American people. That is what everyone wants. We are demanding accountability. We do not want to see this happen again. We had to live through it for far too long. We got very, very lucky that they were unable to steal the 2024 election, thanks to the overwhelming number of supporters, President Trump. But time and time again, they relapse, and this is what they want to do. So they're trying their very best to pretend like John Brennan is a victim. John Brennan's not a victim. He thought he was going to get away with it, and he is not going to get away with it. And we will force accountability over at the DOJ. Public pressure will force the DOJ to hold these accountable if they choose not to. Well, I think President Trump has it figured out. It would be a great move where, I don't know if you remember, the Missouri AG was taken away from the state of Missouri and shifted over to the FBI as the co-deputy director. If you're wondering why that took place, well, according to my sources, he is expecting to make his way over to the DOJ. We don't know when, but apparently there was a conversation that happened with staffers, and they were made aware that this is likely going to be the move that's going to happen. So if they are going to continue to drag this on and not charge the people at the highest levels of corruption, the backup plan is going to be Andrew Bailey. And you can mark my words, I've been talking about this for weeks now. There's a reason why they shifted him over to the FBI, and you're not hearing from him. Again, at home, if you're wondering, what does that mean, Brianna? If you need someone to read up on all of this, you need someone who is going to fight these battles, you need them over at the FBI. Now, again, I know I bash quite often those in leadership, specifically DOJ and FBI leadership. But the reality of it is there is active members over at the FBI trying to sabotage Cash Patel and obviously Dan Bongino as well. So you need all the backup you could get. And so bringing Andrew Bailey in was a good move, a good move. Again, that's not me trying to be dismissive over the bad decisions that have been made so far. And the focus with that statement is on the FBI director himself, Cash Patel. I know he's been very outspoken. He's not happy that people are criticizing him for his use of the airplane, obviously, to go see his girlfriend. I know Kyle Serafin's been calling that out. The reality of it is this. He was somebody who was very aggressive on that front. In fact, telling, it was Benny Johnson, actually. I remember this now vividly. Benny Johnson, he was going after Christopher Wray for misusing his plane, his jet, and wanted accountability there. That came from Cash Patel himself. I'm not telling you this. It came out of his mouth. He wanted accountability. He wanted to go after him. He was very critical of it. So when we have these criticisms, we're just holding you to your own standards. We're not going out there and gunning for you and trying to get you uprooted and out of the FBI. I supported Cash Patel getting into this position because he wrote a whole book outlining the crimes committed by the government gangsters, deep state operatives. He knew exactly what was going on here. But now we get some new form of Cash Patel in this director role, and I don't know who he is. From everything I've seen on the media for the last 4+ years, he has been out there, and he's been very aggressive at calling out all of these deep state operatives. And again, he could do all the investigative work he wants to. The rest of it relies on the DOJ filing those charges. I get it. Getting the grand juries together is the DOJ's responsibility, the U.S. attorneys. I get it. But we need to see more movement. We need to see more movement. The American people did not vote for a mediocre prosecution. We voted to get rid, to purge out the deep state operatives who have been destroying this country for far too long. You see, they thought they had immunity. They don't have immunity. They don't have immunity. Now, maybe it's because a lot of these people are fearful what will happen to them when the roles reverse. And if there is a Democrat who makes their way back into the White House, will they use the FBI and the DOJ and other agencies to go after them? Well, probably. That's why you have to go all in now. Now is the time to go all in, not waiting around. We're not waiting around. I mean, yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of President Donald Trump getting reelected. They knew he was making his way back into the White House. Everyone had an idea of who was getting what in positions. The FBI director himself, Cash Patel, was the one handling all the vetting. So he knew. And he had a plan in place for what he was going to do the day he was sworn in and he started carrying out his duties as a director. So everyone knew what was going to happen. And also, I want to make sure we set this bar very, very high, because the DOJ under the Biden regime had no problem going out there and instantly arresting hundreds of J6 protesters for allegedly for trespassing. I mean, that was it. People weren't even there that day, dragged off. So don't give me the nonsense that we need to be patient. We need to just wait and stand by. We're done with the waiting. And it doesn't help when it's our own attorney general releasing information about what they did to the president of the United States, the cojones they had on them to go after there and to grab his presidency phone, obtain those records, and then go after his personal records as well. When the AG is telling us these stories, and then you don't see any follow-up with it, it's not a good day. Ask yourselves, why, with everything we've seen thus far, why hasn't Jack Smith had his home raided? A 6 a.m. wake-up call by the FBI. Hasn't received any of that. I don't even think we've seen a congressional invitation for him to testify. And I say invitation because it's the lightest thing they could do. They could force him to come in front of Congress, but they haven't done that either. You see, Jack Smith is just the face of all of this. It was everyone behind him who is operating this, and so he's going to be the fallout man. But that's why you got to keep digging here. I'm so fed up with seeing all of these reports. We see more about Arctic Frost constantly. We're seeing more about what they were doing to President Trump. We know what they did to you if you showed up to your J6 rally that was legally allowed. Again, I'll keep echoing this. I was on the phone with someone who was simply there at the rally. He may or may have not gone into the Capitol. Don't know that. But I could tell you this. I could tell you he was someone who the FBI went after. In fact, they planted a device over his utilities pole. His home was the only one that had it. Called me, was like, I don't know what this is. And the FBI has been kind of following me around lately. Every time I feel like I'm going to the supermarket, there's some weird dude following me. They're actually following me right now. This was happening while I was on a call with someone, vetting them. And I'm like, send me some proof. I'll vet it with my guys. And lo and behold, he sent me a picture of the utilities pole with a box that was just recently added to it. And my FBI guys go, yeah, that's ours. So spare me of your fake outrage for those in the administration now, for those GOP lawmakers who want to sit there and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to me. Jack Smith was targeting me. I'm Lindsey Graham. You should be outraged for me. Those were the people who were silent when it was happening to innocent Americans who attended a legal rally on January 6th. The pro-lifers who showed up and peacefully protested outside of abortion clinics, they also were targeted. The list goes on and on and on. I'm actually surprised I haven't seen my name land on the list, probably because I sue the government so much. They probably didn't do anything with clear communications regarding emails or anything that could be caught up with later, because they know that I'm somebody who does go after FOIAs and does sue. But the reality of it is everyone was targeted in all of this. It was laid out by the Obama regime. No one pushed back when they targeted the Associated Press, wanted to know who was talking to the AP. And so the Obama regime went out there and got their phone records. That happened. And these so-called supporters of the First Amendment suddenly got very quiet. Yeah, the people who were targeting me for getting Pentagon credentials, because I am not worthy of being in a chair that was once sat in by a corporate media journalist. It wasn't just the Associated Press, it was also Cheryl Atkinson. Her employer sadly didn't defend her. And there was also another individual over at Fox who also had their communications tapped by the Obama regime. Again, who's fighting that battle? Well, only Cheryl Atkinson. The AP, nope. Don't cause a fight. We'd hate for you to burn our access to the administration. What are these so-called journalists when they're too afraid to stand up for their fellow journalists or even their own journalists who work for them? The AP didn't do anything. Fox didn't do anything. Put out a strongly worded letter, maybe. That's the bare minimum. So it's no surprise when you look back and you start to see all this being carried out right now by the former regime, I should say. The Biden regime. And then you're sitting here and you're waiting, wondering where are the consequences for all of this? Well, they got away with it under the Obama regime because those in President Trump's first term did their very best to make sure that nobody was held accountable. And here we are now in his, say, third elected term. Okay, second. He'll beat up on me for that one. But the reality of it is he did win three times. But most importantly, folks, we aren't seeing much in the way of movement on this. And it's very, very disturbing. Again, we're going to keep talking about this. We're not going anywhere. All right, let's talk about what members in the Senate are apparently doing right now. They've just brought forward the Stop Antifa Act, which was introduced by Florida U.S. Senator Ashley Moody, Rick Scott as well from Florida, and Utah's Mike Lee. Now, apparently this would direct the National Joint Terrorism Task Force to investigate Antifa. I don't know why you need this. It's not going to get probably anywhere. As many of you guys know, this doesn't really happen. If you are talking to someone like, you know, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, she brought forward legislation to make sure that these people were designated as a terrorist organization, and nothing happened. That happened back in January again this year. It was brought in under President Trump's first term by another Congress member, and she brought it back up, and nothing came of that. Now, the President Trump obviously doing it through an executive order, but the executive orders mean nothing when Democrats come back into office. You need to pass this as legislation. So again, you're seeing the Senate do something about it, but. Will this even make it to a floor vote? Likely not. I'm not going to sell you a dream. I know time and time again, people said they do this all the time. They do this all the time. All right, let's turn to happier stories since I've been such a black pill today. Sorry. I'll make sure tomorrow that I come in a little bit happier. Let's talk about this. Tampa police saved a child who is being held at knife point. I want to take a look at clip 12 because this video has since gone viral, but it actually shows the importance of quality law enforcement work when they're actually doing the jobs that they sign up for. Take a listen.
Hey, Sheriff's Office, make yourself known. Sheriff's Office, make yourself known.
Just want to send the kid out.
Send the child out, please. Stay in the child. Bring the child out of the room. Drop the knife and bring the child out of the room. Drop the knife, bring the child out of the room.
Let's down the door.
Let me see your hands right now.
You are going to get shot.
Let me see your hands right now. Let me see your hands right now. Let me see your hands right now. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Drop the knife. Drop it. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on.
That's what happens when you spend a few days over at the range. Good on that officer. Thank God he saved that child's life. And you just have to pray that that child is fully recovered from that horrific incident. But great police work, of course. We want to make sure we highlight just that. I wanted to give you guys some breaking news. We just got an update in regarding that Dearborn, Michigan alleged terror plot. It was an ISIS-inspired terror plot, according to the DOJ. It looks like the federal agencies, the FBI itself, has made two more arrests. Now, yesterday I detailed the report with you also with Ken Silva. There was at least 10 different individuals there. We didn't see their names. We didn't know who these people were. Didn't know if they're FBI informants or not. Well, there's two more people who have been arrested in all of this. I will do some digging on this to see specifically what they're being accused of. Again, two more individuals arrested in all of this. It was not immediately clear whether they were these unnamed co-conspirators that were listed in the document that we brought to you guys yesterday. The NYPD's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Bureau played a role in their capture. That is according to NBC News. Now, on Monday, federal prosecutors announced charges against two of those individuals. Both are 20 years of age and apparently do live in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, as I told you, when you sift through the actual criminal complaint itself, you find that potentially LGBT communities, was going to potentially be the target in all of this, that these individuals were apparently looking around at bars and clubs and doing some research on the grounds. On page 40, I found that they were they were very interested in the LGBTQ community and their gatherings, their bars, their clubs. And so, don't tell the members of the LGBT community that the Islamists in this country are gunning for them, literally. Folks, a lot we've discussed today, a lot more happening tomorrow, of course. I didn't even get to a lot of our stories. There's so much going on right now in this country, and it's incredible that I have the honor to bring you the very latest on that front, and we're excited to do just that. We're working on an incredible show tomorrow, though. More to expose, you know, as we sit back and we watch what's going on in our country, there's a lot that we have to talk about. A lot of people pretending to be Republicans or conservatives and play hero. We don't do that on this show. We spit the truth to you, and I look forward to doing that again tomorrow. I wanted to remind our audience, though, over at the alexjonesstore.com, we have the 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide. So when you head on over to the shop, you're going to get a couple of great items like Methylene Red. We just launched that, obviously, last week. So you're going to want to snag that. You're also going to want to snag Alex Jones's signature blades as well. Now, those are going to sell out really fast. And obviously, we have a limited amount. So when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, make sure you grab these. They are great for Christmas gifts. Great for Christmas gifts. I'd highly recommend you do just that, of course. And just to remind our audience, too, you know, you're obviously getting these great savings. But when you become a VIP member for only $30 a month, you get $40 in store credit every month, and you're helping us stay on air. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com today and make sure you snag some of these incredible items. All right, it is done for me. It's not even a real sentence. I am out here. Alex Jones is next over at the Alex Jones Show. I'll see you tomorrow.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheElixirStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80-plus percent reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.